you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad Boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and Savior, man.
Allow me to present Man Not Caring.
Jesus, I give you the praise for this.
May the Lord bless and keep you.
Now take it outside, God boy.
Oakley doakley.
Thank you, sir, man. Have another.
Nope.
Good morning, USA. I got a feeling that it's gonna be a wonderful day. The sun in the sky has a smile on his face, and he's shining a salute to the American race.
Kevin and Bean, honestly, they're a couple of schmucks.
Oh boy, it's swell to say, good morning, USA.
Millions and millions and millions of Angelenos wake up with my next guest every morning. They are the morning guys on K-Rock out here in Los Angeles. Please welcome Kevin and Bean.
And now.
I'm sorry, who?
Our feature presentation.
How did you get the gonorrhea?
From America, sexy time. I have had a gonorrhea many times. A lady is very much like a Borat. High five. I have also had other disease in this area.
Do you know what they were?
I once catch a herpes from my sister.
That means you had sexual relations with your sister.
Yes.
Yes. And is that usual in your country?
Only on the Feast of Shurik.
Did you have sexual relations with any other family members?
No, I am not a sick.
How can anyone not love Borat?
It's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:32. It's Monday, the 6th of Blovember.
I think HBO or somebody was doing, I guess it was had to be HBO, was doing a Borat marathon. They were doing a marathon of Borat.
Oh, really?
And,
the
Ali G
show.
Yeah. Now that the movie's out and it's
today.
So huge.
It's actually today, I think. I was reading it.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Weekly. Yeah, so you haven't missed it.
Oh, cool.
Fantastic.
You got to check that out.
Yeah.
It's one of the funniest things. That movie made, what, $26 million over
did
the
it?
Weekend?
Yes. I hadn't heard.
How crazy is
wow.
that? I had a listener send me some links to some deleted scenes.
Oh, really?
And that's what that last one was. It was him at a doctor talking about gonorrhea. And I think this is the one where he's at the grocery store pointing to package after package.
What is it, this?
That's cheese.
What is it, this?
That's cheese.
And this, what is this?
Cheese also.
And what is this one?
That's cheese.
This one over here, what is it?
Cheese.
And this?
That's cheese.
And this?
Cheese.
And what is it, this?
That's cheese.
And what is this?
Cheese also.
And this one here is rice?
That's cheese.
And what is this?
Very patient man.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
That's the best part of that movie is his reaction that he gets from regular people.
Oh, well, yeah. And he's so committed to his character. He never breaks character and he never breaks up. I don't know how, as a comedian, you're not laughing your ass off when you come across some of the stuff you see. That's what's remarkable to me is he's able to stay in character.
Yep.
Yeah, Ralph will be talking more about the Borat movie and the big box office. It was at least double what anybody expected it was going to be over the weekend. But good times.
Which is great. I mean, we all thought that not enough people had seen it. They weren't familiar with it. It was going to have to build by word of mouth. But wow.
It's not Siskel and Ebert or Ebert and Roper. It's the guy that's not sick and whoever his guest is that review. He calls it Borat.
Borat.
Yeah.
Really?
I was watching it this weekend. He goes, I had a movie a lot of people have been waiting for, Borat.
No,
like,
that's
you
funny.
Have never heard. How can you not, how can someone there not tell you the name of the guy?
You would think you'd get the lead character's name right.
Yeah.
You would think.
And then, but that reminded me of how out of touch so many people are with him.
Unfortunately, true. That's true. But $26 million is fantastic. The screening that I went to when I went on Saturday, I think, was we had to sit in the first three rows because it was so jam-packed.
Yeah, it was packed everywhere. It made so much money per screen. It's just, I mean, wait till next week when it opens in a lot of theaters. Man, it's going to do some business.
Yeah, a lot of big movies come out in 2,000 or 3,000 theaters. I think this was in 800?
800.
Yep, 800. Yeah. Santa Claus was in over 3,000. Came in second. Yep.
They were going to do more, and then they cut it back.
Yeah, well.
Mm-hmm. Have a little faith, people.
24 million is great for a movie that's in 3,000. Yeah. Know? That's really good.
Yeah, he's going to be super happy.
So that's fantastic. I love Borat. I love Sacha Baron Cohen. It's 5:35. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about today's show, shall we?
All right.
Well, there's bad news to get started, by the way. I don't know if you heard. Dick Cheney's going hunting again today.
Oh, no.
Yes. I guess he's leaving today for, I guess it's an election year tradition. He always does this during the election time. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be in South Dakota for 3 or 4 days or something like that. So I wonder how hard it was to get somebody to go with him this time. I wonder if he was calling like everybody at his Rolodex going, come on, we haven't hung out in a while. Let's go hunting.
I'm serious. I'll be careful this time.
Yeah.
It is the first time he's gone on one of these hunting trips since he blew his friend's head off. So we'll see how that goes. But
I think everybody's going to be wearing like a hockey or football mask. Or
yes, I do.
Everybody that goes out there with him hunting is in dire trouble.
I just think there's nothing funnier than the fear that the vice president strikes in the hearts of his friends.
And now a little song for the vice president. That's it. Okay. Yeah, that's funny. Our vice president is funny. Our vice president with a shotgun. Also on today's show, we're going to talk to Hayden Panettiere.
Oh.
Sorry.
What I'm talking about.
Can't be making those noises.
Right.
17.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the stars of Heroes. She's the indestructible cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the world needs more of. Indestructible cheerleaders. Yes.
I agree.
So we're going to talk to her today. We got to try and pour cold water on Ralph and see if we can contain ourselves.
Okay.
Until next August 21st. And then he's allowed to do whatever he wants.
Then everything's fine. Yes.
Mike, can you imagine the abuse you could heap on an indestructible cheerleader? Can you imagine what a party that would be?
Well, it defeats everything that I love in a woman is thrown right out the window if she's indestructible.
Everything that you love about a woman.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't really dominate someone who's indestructible.
Oh, that's right. It's all about domination for you.
Like, what do I hold on her?
She could dominate you. She could put you in a car and drive into a tree like she did on the show.
She could do just about anything. She could regenerate limbs. I wish I could do that.
Yeah. You'd regenerate the one that's gone between your legs?
Regenerate. I start generating it for the first time in my life.
Also on today's show, we're going to talk about celebrity hotel hijinks. We had a call on Thursday, I don't know,
yeah.
About Dolph Lundgren. Actually, it was Ralph's story in the Showbiz Beat about Dolph Lundgren and how he used to answer the door naked for room service.
That's right.
And at attention, by the way. And he also used to walk through the lobby of the hotel in just a banana hammock.
Yeah.
And, you know, get food or whatever. He's just, he's funny. And, you know, there's a lot of people that work at hotels in this city. And they've seen a lot of funny celebrity behavior. So we're going to take some calls.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when Brad and Jen stay at your hotel, you get to go in to clear away the dishes or whatever. You see all sorts of crazy stuff.
Bean, how was Anna Nicole Smith? You have highlights of that from Friday?
It's a three-part interview that they're spreading out over Entertainment Tonight and The Insider. And it's very, very sad. Once again, it's that delicate balance between we have to be respectful of this poor mom who just lost her kid, and we're going to figure out a way to make this as emotionally tear-jerking and exploitative as possible. So they managed to walk that fine line, but she's a mess.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, they had to stop this interview because she was crying so hard at one point, but they press on.
Well, I'm glad they did.
I mean, it's really, at some point you almost, and I know it's the Get, I mean, it's the interview all news organizations want, but at some point you almost wish somebody had stood up and said, she's just not ready to do interviews.
Yeah.
Let's come back in a month.
Yeah, well, it won't make any difference. I mean, in her, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, Saddam Hussein got sentenced. He actually, the verdict came down in his first trial. And he and I think two other guys were guilty. And when you're guilty in Iraq, you get hung. Do you know that?
Well, I knew it was a death sentence. I didn't know you got hung.
I believe in Iraq, hanging is how the death sentence is carried out. So that'd be great.
And they have to do it within, six months or something?
Within 30 days, I understand, of the appeal. So the appeal could take months. We don't know how long that's going to take. But, there's going to be a different panel of judges will now look at the evidence and decide whether to uphold or overturn the verdict. And that is, experts now are expecting probably in the spring or so, and then he should be hanged within 30 days of that. Best headline I saw, by the way, was Saddam'd to Hell.
Also on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to the Armenian comedian who we have reviewing Borat for us.
Because
the Armenian comedian Well, if he were to pick a perfect life, it would be Borat. It would be a guy who's a foreigner that's funny, and he's made it huge in showbiz. And so we're kind of rubbing it in Sam's face by making him go. That's fun.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Okay. Thank you. And we are also going to do the grand prize drawing this morning. All weekend long, you won K-Rock New Rock CDs, and you qualified for the grand prize. At 7:15 today, we're going to give you a choice. You can see The Killers in Mexico City, 30 Seconds to Mars in Seattle, Snow Patrol in Dublin, Ireland, Red Hot Chili Peppers in Vienna, Evanescence in Tokyo, and My Chemical Romance in Auckland. So that's your choices.
Wow.
And at 7:15, we're going to offer somebody they get to pick.
That's
and they
pretty
get to go.
Cool.
That's pretty cool indeed. So we'll do that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we got Ralph Showbiz beat next.
Hey, do you mind if I make a quick statement ahead of the Ralph Showbiz report for this Monday morning? I never had sex with a guy. I just bought meth from him and got a massage. That was it, okay? I want everybody to hear that, and I want everybody to believe that.
Sorry, you lose your job anyway.
Wasn't that amazing?
I never used the meth.
I threw the meth away.
Just got it.
Just bought it.
You guys should have heard people that belong to his congregation defending him even after he said that.
Yeah.
If there's a God, if there really was a God, they would just smite him down.
This is an evangelical leader, or the evangelical leader, right? He's one of the biggest
one of the big ones.
Country. He's the head of the National Association of Evangelicals. In addition to that, he's the pastor of one of these mega churches. I think he's got 14,000 people go to his church in Colorado. And as predicted, by the way, I'm sure you guys all thought the same thing, is there were people being interviewed saying that it was, you know, just his enemies and those who hate Lord trying to bring him down.
Absolutely.
But didn't he
admit
it?
It's a vast Democratic conspiracy.
Yes.
So he admitted it, but it's still a conspiracy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because they're forcing him to admit it.
Well, it's good times, isn't it? It's 5:49, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
I like box office base nice.
Borat, $26.4 million in its debut. It debuted in just over 800 screens across America and averaged about $31,500 in each of those
screens. And that is an astonishing per screen average.
That's massive. That's up there with like Fahrenheit 9/11, those kind of numbers. Usually it only happens to a major independent film that's a smash hit like that. But this is insane. And as Kevin was talking about over the weekend, almost every screening was sold out all weekend long, from the afternoon matinees on Friday all the way through to Sunday night. And that's when they were starting to say this is going to be big, because they were saying the Friday afternoon matinees were just sold out coast to coast.
Yep.
Massive, massive numbers.
All right, the kind of sex you like?
My preference, dog style.
Okay.
Yes. I like.
Okay, thank you.
High five.
couldn't be happier for a guy who really worked hard and really deserves it.
Yep.
Did you like that one sequence in the movie, Kevin?
Oh, my God.
With him and his producer? Did you go for that? Did you have a good time?
I didn't see that coming, Ralph. Even though you warned us that there was something that was going to be so hard to watch, I didn't see that coming.
That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I said I thought Kevin would go running, screaming from the theater, in tears, vomiting. That's what I thought was going to happen when he saw that sequence.
Lisa, you haven't seen it yet, right?
I haven't.
Half the people in the theater will have their hands in front of their faces.
Really?
They won't be able to watch.
Yeah. Funny, though.
Insane.
I mean, it's not like really, really, really gross. Yeah. It's just really funny.
Insane.
Okay. Yeah.
And one of the bravest things anyone's ever done in film, by far. Absolutely.
What a great
movie. You can take any of your top shelf comedians and say, okay, here's the bit we want you to film. And they'd say, funny, but
no way. Nope. Santa Claus 3 was number 2 at the box office this weekend by a large margin. It got beaten by Borat about $7 million worth, made $20 million at the box office, and it opened to 3,000 screens across America.
Wow.
So do the math. You can see there that people saying it was didn't make as much money because it kind of split focus with Flushed Away, another kids-oriented film, so that's why it didn't do as well. Flushed Away, number 3, with about the same box office, $19.1 million. Then Saw 3, The Departed, The Prestige, Flags of Our Fathers, Man of the Year, Open Season, and The Queen, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Fans of Borat made they had a little fun this weekend on Wikipedia.
Uh-oh.
By going to the Kazakhstan page of that online encyclopedia and changing a few things. They made Borat the president of Kazakhstan.
Okay, good.
Which isn't exactly accurate. They changed the country's national anthem to Kazakhstan, greatest country in the world. All other countries are run by little girls.
Okay.
And they also changed the national motto of the country, which was changed to high five.
I like that he's trying to bring back the high five.
Yeah, he is. Very much so.
That's good.
So that was kind of fun. And more Borat news. In MTV Europe, the music awards that are held last week, Madonna was way too busy to attend, so Sacha Baron Cohen came on as Borat via video link from the States here, and he held up a baby and said, "Last year, I made this with one of the ugly ones from the Pussycat Dolls." Is Madonna there because she might like to buy it? But I'm worried that the singing transvestite might make a bad father. Oh. Yeah, so good times.
That's funny.
Here's your proof positive of what we always say about spokespeople and publicists.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Last week, the National Enquirer reported that Neil Patrick Harris, from Doogie Howser fame and now currently on How I Met Your Mother, was gay.
Right.
And he was dating a Broadway actor named David Burtka. Harris's spokespeople immediately jumped to his defense, saying they know David, they're close friends, but that Neil isn't gay.
Wait a minute.
Friday evening, Neil Patrick Harris came out of the closet announcing, "I am a very content gay man living my life to the fullest."
Good for him.
So
his people, after he came out and said it?
No.
Before.
No.
Before.
The National Enquirer said that he was gay. He was dating this Broadway star.
I got you.
Their spokespeople spoke up and said, no, Neil isn't gay at all. He and David are just good friends. That story broke and after the response, Neil Patrick Harris came out later that day and said, "I am a very content gay man living my life to the fullest."
Good for him.
And Kurt Cobain just has a headache.
Exactly. Yeah. Got a bit of a head cold. Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs says he's not just a parent to his kids.
Yeah, what is he?
But a friend. He says he relates to them so well because they both like the same sneakers.
Okay.
It's a big thing he has in common with his kids.
So they sit around talking about how much they like his sneakers?
He says there's not much of a generation gap between me and my kids. He's got an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old by two different mothers. He says he likes to listen to the same music and go to the same movies as his kids, so he's more like a friend than a parent to his kids.
Oh, that's good for them.
Which is great. Kids need more friends and less parents, I would say.
Yeah.
They must be they're not listening to his music, I guarantee that, because there's nobody listening to his music anymore.
That's true.
You know damn well that Lindsay Lohan and Jessica Simpson was not using no Proactiv. From Diddy, whoa, Proactiv. Now, y'all into skincare products. Now y'all think it's official. Well, I got a secret. I was up on Proactiv for 7 years.
Yeah.
That's why I got silky smooth cocoa butter skin.
Right. Silky smooth cocoa butter. You know, Sean Diddy Combs wants to be the first black James Bond. Did you read that story?
Oh, yeah.
I heard about that, yeah.
He's hoping that soon there'll be an open call audition should this Daniel Craig thing go away, and they'll move into a black James Bond, and he'll be the first one. He'll take over.
So, in effect, he's hoping that this fails, this next one.
Sounds pretty much
so
that
he can
way.
Take over. Okay. Yeah.
Or maybe he's willing to wait, 5 years or so. But
it's nice of him.
He's ready to move into the slot. Tyra Banks did another wacky costume change for her show.
She's so funny. Oh, wait, no, she's not.
You know, she puts on makeup, and sometimes she's a fat girl, and she cries, and she does wacky things.
Undercover's a stripper.
Well, she went undercover for a recent Tyra Banks show as to become a man. Transform herself into a man so she could play someone in Chingy's entourage. And she
why?
She discovered what it was like to be a man in Chingy's entourage.
Okay.
I'd like her to do an undercover story about what it's like to be a corpse. If we could just have someone work that out, that'd be great.
What's it like to be buried alive?
Yeah, for a week. Then let us know when we dig you up.
Yeah, I hate her.
You giant eight-headed whore. I hope she dies. Dominic Monaghan and Evangeline Lilly are lost, just as much as we are. They tell Us Weekly magazine that the two of them and their co-stars get together every Wednesday at somebody's house to watch the show, have dinner, and try to figure out what's going on.
Really?
They don't know?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because they don't all shoot all their stuff together, so a lot of the stuff that they see is brand new to them.
Yeah, I guess she's in that jail, so she can't get out and have access to a TV, right?
Gilligan.
She doesn't know what's going on the other side of the island.
No,
I can see that.
When they're shooting their sequences, they're not always involved in the other people's scenes, so they want to see what's been going on.
She's in prison. I get it. She's in that jail.
Ralph, I just hope that somebody running the show has an idea of what's going on, and they're not, as it's starting to appear, making it up as they go along.
I don't think so. Dude, what are we going to do? Guy in an eye patch. Okay, good. Let's do that. Put a guy in an eye patch in there. That'll buy us some time.
To come up with a real idea.
And lastly, I couldn't be happier. You know, CBS and Mark Burnett have a long-standing history together. A lot of successful TV shows, including, of course, Survivor, the granddaddy of all reality shows.
Right.
Well, they've just announced, according to Daily Variety magazine, that next summer, CBS and Mark Burnett will be teaming up on a pirate-themed reality game show.
Yeah. What is the CBS policy? Is that word bleeped or not?
You can say virtually anything.
Okay.
The action and stunts will take place both on land and sea, and contestants will have to out-pirate each other.
What does that mean?
It means it's going to be great. That's what it means. It means it's going to be awesome. I'm getting on this goddamn
show. I'm more
show.
Of a pirate than you are. Nuh-uh, I'm more of a pirate than you are.
Yeah, and then I got my cutlass and I hack you to pieces. That'll be good television. I want a lot of raping and pillaging, too.
Yeah.
Shame on you, CBS.
What? Come on.
Shame on you, CBS.
No, it's good for us. It's good for America. It's good for the country.
That's right. That is true.
That's what I say. Today's celebrity birthday is Mike Nichols, legendary film and stage director, given us such movies as The Graduate, The Birdcage. He did that Tony Kushner's Angels in America, that big HBO miniseries.
That was good. Yeah.
Brilliant director. 75 years old today. Sally Field, the actress who just hasn't been working at all lately. I don't know what's happened to her, but she's I think Norma Rae was the last thing she was in, so
brothers
it's been a while. Ethan Hawke, very talented actor. He's 36 years old today. Thandie Newton, 34 years old today. And Rebecca Romijn, one of our good friends. Model, actress, all-around good gal. She's 34 this weekend.
Yeah.
Today, rather.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing her this weekend. That's what I was thinking of. I'll be seeing her this weekend.
Why are you seeing her?
She's just... We have mutual friends.
You're going to hang out with
Rebecca Romijn?
Yeah. I got a wedding this weekend. She's going to be hanging out at the wedding, so... I'll give her your best.
I could come if you need me.
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks.
Just checking.
We're good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Anna Nicole Smith, shall we?
Okay.
She's, How do you describe? She's so hateable to me.
Well,
it goes all the way back to marrying the 92-year-old multi-billionaire.
She's pathetic and hateable.
Yes.
That's what makes it difficult.
Yes.
She's all of those things. And by the way, you'll hear in a moment as we prepare to get into the more tape from the interview on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider, she was back in the hospital on Friday. I don't know how much coverage that news got, but you'll hear about it coming up in this piece. Look, we said the same thing on Friday when we played part one of the interview. Not taken away from how tragic and sad it is that she lost her son, because that's the worst pain a human can go through, is losing a child. Not taken away from that, but if anyone deserves it, it's Anna Nicole Smith. Let's face it.
Oh man!
In fact, if she's lucky,
I
don't think so.
If she's lucky, she'll lose the baby too. As a matter of fact, she'll lose that one too.
For God's sake! Well, here's part of the reason why we hate her, because she had a photographer at his funeral. And sold the pictures, from what we understand, to the tabloid.
Yes.
Who brings a photographer to your son's funeral?
And the fact that she got married before she buried her son, that she took 6 weeks to have the funeral.
What the hell?
And by the way, that was one of the centerpieces of this interview. Part two of the interview on ET and The Insider is that she was finally going to answer the question everyone's been asking, which is, why did it take you so long to bury the baby? Or to bury your son, your 20-year-old. So they must have promoted that 40 times during the course of the hour. Why did it take you so long? The shocking answer coming up. So we'll get to that if we have time. First, though, here's more from Friday night's Entertainment Tonight.
I don't understand why God took it if it didn't take me.
By the way, if you have a low tolerance for people weeping, you may not want to listen to this segment because she never stops.
She said, I don't understand why God took him and not me. First of all, we totally agree with that. God should have taken him.
Yeah.
And second of all, God, I don't think God came down and put the drugs in his system, did he?
No.
Did God say, take this methadone now?
I don't know.
Day two of our Anna Nicole World Exclusive. The day she buried her only son.
It's not supposed to happen.
Plus, the sobbing that stopped our interview.
By the way, they are totally milking this. They're making, she's already distraught enough. But they're asking all sorts of questions like, what did you put in the casket? And what was it like when you buried your boy? They're doing everything. They're piling on.
And they've got that music, that really, really tear-jerking music.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, the crying that stopped our interview. Wow.
Exactly.
That's what did you huge. Put in the casket?
And the question she can't escape.
You were aware that he was taking antidepressants.
Yes, I was.
All right.
Anna, clad in black behind a veil and wearing a cross around her neck, was inconsolable throughout the service.
All right, this is going to be a recap of the funeral. By the way, I love Anna showing up with a cross, which is really what all former, Playboy playmate / stripper / marrying old men for money whores should be wearing around their necks. So they're going to take us through what the funeral was like. And of course, as Kevin mentioned, plenty of photos to go along with the audio. Let's recreate the music that was played at the funeral.
Amazing Grace played as the opening hymn at what was called Daniel's homegoing service.
Do you feel there's still something missing?
Okay, great question, Mark Stitus.
Yeah. No, I feel complete now.
Nope, the family has never been tighter than we are right now. Seriously, it's going great.
All of these questions are insane. Yes. Is there still something missing? I don't know. My son's still dead. Does that count?
Is that unbelievable, less than 2 months later, that they would be asking that question?
Is there still something missing?
She's a puddle on the couch. She can barely lift her head to look at you, and you're asking, how are things going,
no,
eh?
I'm over it. It's all good.
Mourners placed single red roses on Daniel's coffin.
Can you tell me what you remember?
Now, this is what's awesome about interviewing Anna Nicole Smith. Maybe it's not just now. Maybe it's always. You'll recall that she remembered nothing about the death of her son.
Right.
Okay?
You had to tell
she
her twice,
was there.
They said, right?
Yeah, she was in the room. She was there. She didn't remember anything about it, like not one detail.
Right.
Hell of a good interview. Let's see what she remembers about the funeral.
I can tell you that it was the most difficult day of my whole entire life at Daniel's funeral. That's what I can tell you.
That's it. That's all she's got. She remembers nothing about the funeral either.
Well, she does have the alleged stash of drugs that keep her all hopped up.
She looks so drugged, didn't she?
Doesn't she?
Oh,
yes.
My God. Her eyes were like half open. She was clearly just completely zoned out.
Allegedly. Super medicated.
Yeah.
And she's, she's got the bleach blonde hair and the even more bleach blonde teeth that are just, you've never seen anything like it. But she's got a hell of a tan for somebody who's been in mourning for the last 2 months.
It's true.
She's golden bronze. We're listening to Anna Nicole Smith. Her interview in part three tonight is going to be on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider.
As if the pain of burying Daniel was not enough, she is now living with the insurmountable fear that he is alone in death.
Okay, this is my favorite part of the interview. This is the best. You remember on Friday, the ha-has came from when Howard K. Stern, her lawyer slash fake husband, told her about Daniel's death. She thought she was being punked. Remember, she was looking around for the camera.
Yeah.
She thought it was Ashton Kutcher was going to jump out from behind the couch going, we got you.
They actually mentioned the show Punk. She actually honestly thought that she was being punked when he came in and told her that her son was dead.
Exactly.
Because
they do a lot of that hilarious
that.
Dead kid comedy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What
right.
kind of relationship do they have?
We got
for
you.
So that was the laughs from Friday. Here's the most unbelievable part of this interview, by the way, which is she's concerned that Daniel is somehow not going to be able to figure out how to get to heaven. Listen to this.
I'm afraid that I'm pretty stuck. I'm afraid that he doesn't know where to go.
Well, there's no road signs when you get on the other side. There's no path. There's no way to know how to get to heaven, right?
That's her fear.
That's her fear.
She's that he's going to not be able to find the light and walk
but
toward
she
it.
She could have.
That's what she's afraid of, exactly. But wait, there's more.
I don't have anybody that's dead that can go to.
Howard Marshall.
Okay, so this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm afraid my son's not going to be able to find the way because I don't know anybody on the other side. I don't have anybody close to me who's dead. What about the guy you've been in court for 10 years trying to get his money because he was the love of your life? What about J. Howard Marshall? Do you remember him? The guy that died? The guy that you're suing to get his millions? What about him? He's on the other side.
Turns out he is dead. Yeah, he could help.
I forgot about
him. When I was naming all those people that I don't have on the other side, my husband. That's right. Whore!
Today, the stress of burying her only son and living a life of seclusion hounded by the paparazzi has once again taken its toll on Anna Nicole.
All right, here's where we're going to find out why Anna is back in the hospital as of Friday. And by the way, still sending pictures to Entertainment Tonight. I don't know what kind of arrangement they've got with her, but she sends pictures of her in the bed from the hospital.
Only Entertainment Tonight and The Insider can now break news on Anna Nicole's health crisis. These are the brand new photographs sent to us by Anna today. In the hospital, wearing an oxygen mask and giving the thumbs up, here's Anna breathing into a tube, helping rebuild her collapsed lung.
All right, here's my favorite part.
Give the thumbs up. Like Borat.
High five.
Here's the best part of the pictures that Anna sent from the hospital on Friday.
In this photo, she holds up a drawing of her lung. Yes, Anna Nicole has a sense of humor despite this latest turn of events.
What? She drew a picture of her collapsed lung?
Yes.
And then took a picture of it and then sent it to Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, she's the best.
In case they need a sketch.
What do you mean by lung? Could you draw me a picture? Lung.
Anna tells us today that she is hooked up to a bunch of machines, but says she is feeling much better.
That's the kind of medical information that we're hoping for.
Yes.
As the home viewer, by the way. What's going on with Anna? Well, she's hooked up to, it says here, a bunch of machines. Well, that answers all my questions.
While in the hospital, Howard says the security has been wonderful, with guards both at her door and at the elevators.
All right, last clip for 58 minutes of the show, of the two shows together, Entertainment Tonight and The Insider. They've talked about how Anna is going to answer the question, what took her so long? How long was it, Lisa? It was almost 40 days, right?
6 weeks,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Why did it take so long for her to bury the son? You were off, in a bikini on a catamaran getting married, and your son is, you know, basically laying in the autopsy room. What's the deal? What took so long?
It was horrible.
She didn't want to accept that Dana was gone.
Oh, she just didn't want to accept that he was gone. That's why. That's the reason why it took so long.
So they would say, when are you going to have the funeral? And she's going to say, I'm not accepting that. I'm out.
Yes.
I think that he's still alive.
I reject that totally. Yes, I will. I'm not going to bury him because I refuse to accept that he is dead. That's the reason why. He could still be there today if cooler heads had not prevailed.
Wow.
But she's magic, you guys. And I don't know what they got left for part three, but I'm in.
Oh, well, it's Pat O'Brien doing the interview, and this is a little clip from tonight.
It's me. You're so f***ing hot.
That's from tonight.
323-520-AFRO. That's the telephone number. We've set it up as an answering machine for you 24 hours a day. You can call anytime, leave a message on any topic. Our listeners are funny and stoned, and sometimes both at the same time.
That's correct, yes.
Lisa May, I was wondering if you could help me out. What's the name of that band? They sing that song, Machine Head, and the lead singer's name is Gavin Rossdale. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's Bush. Oh, Lisa, I love you.
That guy needed no participation from Lisa at all in that conversation. And it was just fine. Here's an observation about Bean in his taste.
I'm at the L.A. Zoo looking at the tapir. It's sitting in the shade, not doing anything, staring off into something. No wonder why Bean likes the tapir so much, just like himself.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Tapirs are my favorite animal. I wish I could own one. I love the tapir.
What makes it stand out above all other animals?
They're awesome looking. They're cool and they're funny.
Oh, they're cool. I didn't know that.
Why can't you have a tapir?
Well, because they'll rip your arm off. That's why.
So?
Well, that is cool. I can't imagine why you wouldn't want one of those as a pet.
Here's some good news from the world of fast food.
Oh, my God. The McRib is back. Hey, McRib. Yummy good.
McRib is back.
I didn't know.
Lisa May, if you and I had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would, because I'm all tan.
That was a good delivery.
That was a great delivery.
Well done.
And finally, we have a call.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking.
Right?
They would. Because Steven's all tan.
And finally, we have a call from maybe the best communicator in the world.
Hey, Kevin, the Bean is dope. Guess what? You guys are going to want to hear this. Okay. Next Friday, mm-hmm. I'm dating a Japanese girl. She's from Australia, and here's how I know her. Today, when I was in Little Tokyo.
I like this because she's a Japanese girl from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Odd.
I was eating at a Japanese restaurant on my own, and I met her and I talked to her. She's very cute. She's about 5'9". And her name is Kumiko. So what do you think about that? But she has a British accent. So I'll be meeting her. You know, I'll be dating her on Friday. So definitely, hopefully she'll have a better impression of me because my listening skills.
Okay, now he's bringing this up because he went on a date about a week and a half ago that we set up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we had him on the air. And the girl was saying that communicating with him is almost impossible.
And I don't think he got that message. So then he wrote us back off the air and said, hey, do I really have problems communicating? And we said, yes.
It would definitely improve substantially, and I will reduce my random questions. So hopefully she'll have a better impression. So I think it's best that I date someone new. So hopefully the new person will have a better impression because...
Okay.
So, you know, I'm dating this Japanese girl. Her name is Kumiko, and she's from Australia, and right. She's about 5'9".
You already said all that.
And she works...
Already said it all.
She works for Japan Airlines, Kevin Bean.
Oh, okay.
What do you think about that?
I hope it goes well. You know what? I'm leaving for Osaka, Japan on November 15th, so I'll be working for some form of nonprofit organization. So, yeah, I just hope you do well. So, thanks, bye.
I think his communication skills are getting better.
They have skyrocketed.
It's a good time to start dating and hope for a relationship with a new woman as you're preparing to leave the country for 4 months, too, by the way.
Brilliant.
He hopes to do well with some nonprofit organization. He doesn't know what, but...
That Doto gets home and he has stuff, he has to get out, and he doesn't have anybody else to call. Do you think the Afro line is his friend?
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Probably his best friend, actually.
Yeah. Probably his only friend,
323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day for you to leave a message.
Right here, come right patrol.
Yeah, call the Border Patrol.
Okay, call the Border Patrol.
This little dog, I need a Border Patrol agent at Site 141.
This guy's probably got a nuclear bomb in here.
I like this place, very nice.
Okay.
When you make all the men do a pyramid, can I be on the top?
That's Borat going to jail for breaking into the United States. It was a deleted scene from the movie. Love that movie. Kevin and Bean Show, it is 6:52 on the world famous K-Rock.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
Well, Borat, number one at the box office this weekend, $26.4 million it made. That comes to a little more than $31,000 per screen that it was on this weekend, which is insane. It's ridiculous.
I think the movie costs less than $20 million to make, so stand to be very profitable.
Santa Claus 3, for comparison's sake, was released in over 3,000 screens across America. Only made $20 million in number two this weekend, so great success for Borat. Flushed Away was number three. Saw was number four. The Departed was five. The Prestige was six. Then Flags of Our Fathers came in at number seven. Man of the Year, eight. Open Season, nine. And The Queen... number 10 at the box office this weekend.
I was at went to Borat on Friday afternoon, and the guy ahead of me in line was buying tickets to Man of the Year. And I looked at all those movies that you mentioned, Ralph. Almost all of them were showing at this multiplex that I was at. And I really wanted to go up to the guy and say, how do you make the decision now that you're going to go see Man of the Year when all of these other films are showing?
Dude,
I couldn't get my head around it.
Who wins the election for president. Don't you get it? Yeah. And then he has to become president, and then he has to actually...
But it also came out like 3 weeks ago, didn't it?
Yeah, and who hasn't heard by now how awful it is, though?
No, it's forever. Man of the Year is like cats. People will be going for years and years and years. It'll never be out of the theaters. Borat, $26.4 million making number one, and they will be releasing it wider in the next coming weekend and then once again. So if you haven't had a chance to see it, it'll be in more theaters this weekend. You'll be able to check it out. So funny how Americans, you know, love Borat, love him, sold out theaters everywhere.
Right.
Guy, big bushy black mustache, hates women, hates gypsies, hates Jews. Mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein, big bushy black mustache, hates women, hates gypsies, hates Jews. They want him dead. It's just not fair. It's very hypocritical of us, I think, quite frankly. They're both hilarious.
They're both funny, that's true.
Yeah, both have funny accents.
Yeah.
Come on, people, get consistent.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Yeah, sexy time, sex explosion on your stomach.
By the way, speaking of making a hand party, we have your Hayden Panettiere coming up. I think in about an hour or so.
What you're talking about? The girl's 17 years old. I don't even think about her in those terms.
No hand party. Sorry,
that's not the way I behave.
No romantic explosion on her stomach.
That is not how I roll.
But Ralph, last week you were saying a lot of stuff about her.
Are you up on the drugs again? You're insane.
Bean, am I?
It's madness. I would never do that for a 17-year-old girl. I have nothing but the most chaste admiration for her as a gifted thespian.
I don't think she's a lesbian.
Oh, Gilligan. Madonna's ticked off New Yorkers during her PR tour in the Big Apple last week because she instructed her drivers to run red lights to avoid paparazzi.
Awesome.
Yeah, they don't like that.
They were pursuing her on bikes and in cars, and she would just tell her driver, don't stop for this red light, just go through. Witnesses claim they saw the singer run 40 red lights in 4 days.
Oh my God.
Sometimes using flashers on the dashboard to impersonate NYC cops in order to evade the paparazzi. Mm. So she was creating some traffic hazards, to say the least.
You can just decide, any private citizen can just decide, hey, I'd prefer not to stop for this line and just go on through it, Ralph?
No, you can't do that, but it's only a crime if you get caught, as they say.
So yeah.
Witnesses saw it, but apparently no cops did, so there you go. Yes, Dr. McSteamy over there on Grey's Anatomy, Eric Dane.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a McDreamy and a McSteamy. Is that what I'm supposed to get out of this? Out of this conversation?
Who's Eric?
Had an affair with McDreamy's wife. That's why they split up to begin with. That's why McDreamy went to Seattle.
Who's McSteamy?
But then his wife came, and then McSteamy came.
Oh, that's the guy that came back.
Yeah, he was McDreamy's best friend. He's a plastic surgeon.
Could not be happier. I don't watch this show.
Love it.
Us Weekly magazine reports that he's just as romantic in real life as he is on the show.
Really?
Well, this is a hard-hitting news story.
He just celebrated his second anniversary with his wife, Rebecca Gayhart, the actress. Apparently, they got married the same night he proposed to her in Las Vegas, and their cab driver was the best man at their reception.
How romantic.
That is romantic. Present Man Not Caring.
It's good. I'm glad to hear Rebecca Gayhart was driving in a cab, by the way.
Yes.
When you get her behind the wheel, she tends to kill people. So it's good to keep her out from behind the wheel. And she's threatened us this for some time now, and it looks like she's going to make good on her threat. As promised, Kirstie Alley will be appearing on the Oprah Winfrey Show today to show off her new body.
No.
After she lost all her weight with Jenny Craig in a...
No.
Bikini.
No way.
I just threw up.
Wow.
She's threatened that when she lost 75 pounds off of one of her legs or wherever she was losing weight, that she would put on a bikini on the Oprah Winfrey
Wasn't
Show.
Wasn't she the latest celebrity to try to pull out the, hey, being fat is okay, I'm happy with myself, I love me this way?
She did say that.
I don't think so.
Did she? I didn't think she was one of those.
I think she was very unhappy.
I thought she was.
Well, she was very, this is just the way I am, get over it.
Right.
She said, yeah, I know I've gained a lot of weight and I'm not crazy about it, but this is just me and I'm still an actress and blah, blah, blah. And fat actress, she made the TV series and everything. And then,
but it was about her trying to lose weight.
Then she lost a ton of weight and now she's all about how hot she is because it's hotter to be
How can she not be all flabby?
She is.
She is, right?
Has she had plastic surgery? Do we know?
How can she not be all that?
I don't know.
She used to be fat and now she's all that? Is that what you're
asking? I just threw up.
She'd kind of have to, I would think.
So today, huh? Wow.
And Fox, dismayed at the showing of the OC season 4 premiere last week, ratings were bad. It's
on opposite Grey's Anatomy now and CSI.
Yeah.
Has decided to move it back to its old stomping grounds on Wednesday nights to give it another shot. They're getting rid of its, Fox is getting rid of its new comedy Happy Hour and the reality show The Rich List, which no one really cared about. So OC will be back on Wednesday nights, so you can check that out if you're having a hard time like Bean, which... Woman show to watch. Watch this woman show instead of the other two women show.
I have always watched the OC. I've seen every episode, but my interest has faded in recent episodes.
Dude, so he's a steel cage fighter now.
I know.
Yeah, I think I'm out.
He fights
I
haven't watched that one yet. Bare-knuckle boxing.
Right. So it's just Rachel Bilson is so hot, it's hard for me to drop that show for my TiVo because I just got to get me some summer, you know?
If there was a little bare-knuckle steel cage boxing in Grey's Anatomy, then I'd be watching.
You'd be in?
You know?
Okay.
Especially if...
McSteamy and McDreamy?
No, if Ketchermit Face, if she was in there getting punched quite a bit, I would tune in weekly. Catch me some of that. Some Pride fighting and knee right to the forehead.
Awesome. Last week's episode, she was pouting a lot, Ralph. You would enjoy it.
Love me some pouting.
I just threw up.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah.
As charming as she is lovely, 34 years old today, Thandie Newton. Of course, you saw her in Mission Impossible and Beloved and many other projects. She's 34 years old today. And Ethan Hawke is 36 years old today. Sally Field, very talented actress, who was Forrest Gump's mom, and she was in Norma Rae. She won her Oscar for that. And
she doesn't work anymore, though.
She's I think she's retired.
I don't think she's on
anymore
projects.
Yeah, I think you're right. She's not on Brothers and Sisters.
Are you still holding
that show you made up?
Yeah.
For God's sakes, Lisa.
You and your Rachel Griffiths. You and your imaginary friends have a good time watching television.
Ron Rifkin.
Good for
Let
you.
It go. Seriously.
Michael Nichols. Mike Nichols, the director of The Graduate. Geez, he's on a bunch of great films. Yeah. 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know if you use Wikipedia very often.
I have.
Online Wikipedia. It's the, how do you describe it? It's an encyclopedia that people put up information on?
Well, anyone can contribute or help edit it. They do have a board of overseers, and I use it quite a bit and have found it to be very reliable. It's in the among the top 15 websites visited in the world. It's enormously popular. And what I love about it most of all, I think, is that it's updated all the time. So if you went to Saddam Hussein's entry in Wikipedia, unlike a regular encyclopedia, it would reflect what happened yesterday of him being convicted and sentenced to hanging. Right. I mean, that's the beautiful thing, is it's always current.
Well, that's not the beautiful thing. The beautiful thing is you can go in and change it to something false if you want. And I do that all the time. But K-Rock listeners sent us a link to the Kevin and Bean page. I didn't know they had one.
I didn't know we were in there.
Yeah, they have a Kevin and Bean page in Wikipedia. And the information that they give out is stunningly accurate.
Really?
I was very surprised. Kevin and Bean is the morning show on K-Rock, an alternative rock format radio station in Los Angeles, California, hosted by Kevin Ryder and Bean Baxter. The duo have released a number of charity albums, and it goes through talking about a bunch of the different charity Christmas albums. Kevin and Bean's Last Christmas, We've Got Your Yule Logs Hanging, The Year They Recalled Santa Claus, Christmas Time in the 909, and speaking of which, we have another one coming up this year.
Mm-hmm.
Personalities, it says. Personality quirks abound on the show with Kevin and especially Bean and their numerous other personalities. And then it starts with me, Kevin. Kevin has odd interests and characteristics that are mentioned on the show from time to time. One, Kevin is obsessed with midgets or little people.
That's what you want in an encyclopedia entry, by the way. That's what you want to be known for.
He thinks they're cool. That's the first entry for me. So people who have no attention span, they just go, all right, that's all I need to know about him. He likes midgets. Has packages mailed to his home using fake names, such as the Duke of Tarzana.
Yes.
Loves things so bad that they are in turn good, earning the nickname the King of Bad. He likes Rob Schneider movies and horrible reality shows.
By the way, Kevin, I'd just like to point out to you that this is a peek into your obituary. Whatever they're writing about you in Wikipedia, this is what's going to be in the final words written about you. This is what people are going to remember from your life.
And here are the two things that I don't want people to remember from my life. Has a large head, which has been known to block the view of concert goers who sit behind him.
Wow.
And finally, has a, quote, unique command of the English language.
That's very kindly put.
That is Kevin.
Then they move on to Bean. Bean has odd interest and knowledge of little known subject matter. In particular, Bean, one, loves the post office and visits it frequently.
Yes.
He even had a poster of the Postmaster General on his wall when he was younger.
That is true.
Okay. Loves 7-Eleven stores.
True.
Wore a Hello Kitty watch.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Owns many undeveloped websites, including one pertaining to the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
True.
And it goes on
also
to talk
true.
About how it was a red boat, 1975 song, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, the anniversary is next week, man. Whatever. I can't wait. We got a big Kevin and Bean show planned for that day.
Is obsessed with Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered the dwarf planet Pluto. He considers himself, quote, a Pluto enthusiast. Has a particular love for Asian women.
That is also true.
Claims to have few, if any, memories from childhood. Is fascinated by jetpacks. although Bean has yet to put up a personal website, he keeps blogs that are updated every day, which is frequently ridiculed by the staff.
As they should be.
Lives in a pink house. Once told Keanu Reeves to his face that he's one of the generation's worst actors and has a cell phone that rings with a theme song, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's a lot of information about us up there. So what do they have to say about Lisa and Ralph and people like that?
Lisa, ostensibly the traffic reporter.
Ostensibly?
Yes. Says you chime in with a female point of view and the voice of reason,
well,
which is ridiculous.
No, it's so true.
Callers often specifically greet Lisa, and she's a good sport, and apparently we get to make fun of her with Lick Lisa. I don't know why they think we're making fun of her.
I don't know. I enjoy it very much.
Ralph Garman, the man of 1,000 voices, Bush, Gore, Cruz, Pacino, Michael Jordan, the Pope, Jerry Lewis, Bob Dylan are just some.
All those Federline songs that Ralph does, too. Don't forget.
Yep. Hey. Ralph does regular entertainment news segments and often acts as a substitute when Kevin and or Bean is not present. He's also known to unleash hilariously bitter rants aimed at Kevin and Bean, 7-Eleven coffee cups, random celebrity stupidity, Joan freaking Rivers, and anything else he doesn't like.
Yeah, there's a lot of random outbursts. By the way, if you're just joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going through the Wikipedia entry online.
A recurring joke at Ralph's expense refers to his spending nearly 2 months filming Two for the Money, a movie with Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey, only to have all but a few minutes of screen time cut from the movie.
Aw. It's in Wikipedia.
Psycho Mike, an assistant producer, Mike is also the fearless, quote, man with a microphone who conducts interviews in such uncomfortable places as the gym shower room and the Magic Johnson Theater. Mm. It's funny that they would say that it's an uncomfortable place like the Magic Johnson Theater. It's not really uncomfortable as much as his questions.
Right. When you break that topic.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He is often kidded on the show about his ambiguous sexuality and his strange body image neurosis.
Oh.
Dave, the King of Mexico, the show's lethargic phone screener, has set the Guinness World Record for constant TV watching twice, only to have his new record voided each time for inconsistent record keeping. He has the taste of a 12-year-old girl, idolizing young female stars such as Mandy Moore and Kristen Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Doc on the Rock, the surly newsman, who's 60. But you get up his rant from Open House or whatever it is he does in some things. The surly newsman, whose 60-second reports are interspersed throughout the show, his patience is often tested by Kevin and Bean's needling and insults, giving him the jokes about Doc going postal, a certain air of authenticity. Moments include a call-in segment called What's in Doc's Butt? And the airing of conversations Lisa May secretly recorded when giving Doc a ride to work.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. I'd forgotten about that. That was awesome.
His short-lived weekend news program proved that he didn't need Kevin and Bean around in order to fly off the handle.
I don't think I have the clip you're looking for, I'm sorry to say.
Open wide for Chunky.
Yeah, but Doc has, on occasion, been known to just lash out and just scream at the people that he's lucky enough to have calling him at 7 o'clock on a freaking Sunday morning.
Yeah, he's awesome. Then it goes to Omar Khan, DJ Omar Khan, a man behind the scenes, a running on-air joke told at each of the show's remote events, has the air guys relating exaggerated tales of Omar's wild behavior, only to have Omar interrupt and remind them that he's still back in the studio while everyone else is having fun. Period.
You know, it's not so funny when they describe it like
no.
that.
And then it ends with, loves Tim Allen movies. Assistant producer Alex, a young, beautiful woman behind the scenes whose on-air contributions are usually limited to voicing Britney Spears with Ashton Kutcher and occasionally relating her own various sexual experiences, earning her the lighthearted nickname of Whore.
Whore!
You don't see that in every encyclopedia.
Nope.
No, you don't.
Other personalities, Doto, an eccentric Asian caller. Doe captured the fascination of Kevin and Bean with his unique speech patterns. He repeatedly interjects the phrase Kevin and Bean in conversation and his effed up eye. Sam, the Armenian comedian, a horrible comedian of unlimited confidence. He believes he is incredibly talented, regardless of how often he's told otherwise. Also known to dabble in ventriloquism and heavy metal music with similarly dismal results. Hated by all but Kevin.
That is accurate.
And then, almost finished here with Wikipedia, recurring themes and characters, running jokes. Ding, it says in quotations. Bean often rings a bell at the mention of an attractive woman's name. Why would they put that in this?
I don't know.
How is that relevant to anything? Pedro Guerrero, riffing on the over-enunciated way that O.J. Simpson said the ballplayer's name on a 911 tape.
They've done the research, haven't they?
There's always room for J-Lo.
Whoever contributed to this entry.
Kevin breaks up bands. Since he reported the breakup of Rage Against the Machine before it was officially announced, Kevin is often blamed for causing the breakup, a trend he continued with Blink-182 and Audioslave. K-Rock is a notoriously low-powered station, and listeners in remote areas, or even in particular buildings, often have difficult time getting clear reception of the show. That's yes. very true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very true. Trivia, Kevin and Bean start and end their show on Friday with a cover of Don't Bogart Me by Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise. They put who sings the song in there. Many of their stunts have been stolen by Rick Dees during his stint as the host of Kiss FM's morning show. Every year on Lisa's birthday, Kevin and Bean call QVC and purchase whatever's being shown on the television at that moment for Lisa's gift, mm-hmm. regardless of how bad it is.
And or how good it is.
And finally, the two things that I can't talk about, legal trivia.
Oh.
One, there was a legal dispute between Grandpa Al Lewis, Munster, that is mentioned occasionally but never explained.
Even though he's dead, we still can't talk about it?
No. I don't think so. I think his family could probably still sue, although it's true.
Okay.
But, you know, what are you going to do? And finally, the show caused international controversy when Ralph Garman made a crank phone call to the office of French President Jacques Chirac.
Or did he?
Or did he? I'm sorry, I was not allowed to say that. I'm just reading from Wikipedia.
Right, exactly.
I'm not saying that, nor can we elaborate on that because of the hell that would come down on our heads.
Right. Mary, Mary, Mary,
Mary. What 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
That is the latest song, Animali, from the band Incubus. There's a lot of great new music out these days, and K-Rock was giving it away all weekend long with CD six packs of new rock, including The Killers, 30 Seconds to Mars, the Snow Patrol album, Red Hot Chili Peppers, the new Evanescence, and My Chemical Romance. And what we did is we gave out those six packs, and then we said, hey, tell us where you're going to be Monday morning at 7:15. We're going to give you a call and give you a chance to go see one of those bands somewhere in the world. And I think that's what we're up to right now.
All right. Let's make the phone call.
Got some dialing music or anything here, Mike?
Mike, you got some dialing music?
Sure.
He's not paying attention.
What a great phone call. Somebody calls you up and says, hey, how about a free trip to New Zealand?
I know. I'd love that.
What city are we calling?
Hello?
Is this Jeff?
This is Jeff.
Jeff Tronti from Placentia, California.
Oh, is that him?
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
That's so cool.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that Jeff?
We're just calling to make sure you're going to vote for Cruz Bustamante tomorrow.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you can't fool me again.
Huh?
What are you talking about, Lisa? Do you know this guy?
No, I just thought it was a machine at first. It sounded like a machine.
Oh, no.
That's what I was saying.
No, this is him.
Oh, good.
This is him.
No, I'm just glad.
Okay, good.
I hate machines.
Lisa's very happy that you won, Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very happy that I won. Thank you guys so much.
So you got the CDs over the weekend. Now you get to make a choice. You get to see The Killers in Mexico City.
My Chemical Romance in New Zealand.
Let me finish, would you? 30 Seconds to Mars in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Snow Patrol in Dublin, Ireland. Red Hot Chili Peppers in Vienna, Austria, Evanescence in Tokyo, or Danity Kane in Riverside. Or My Chemical Romance in Auckland, New Zealand.
I will take My Chemical Romance.
Look at that, Auckland, New Zealand.
Yes. Oh, so no jealous.
You got two round-trip airline tickets to your choice to the city. You got two tickets, and you get $500 spending cash. So congratulations, dude.
Thank you so much. This is the craziest thing I've ever happened to me.
You know what? Call us back after the show and let us know how it went, okay?
Oh, for sure. Will do.
Cool. Thank you, man. Hold on. We'll give you all the details, okay? Hold on. Okay.
And now, a black moment with Lisa May.
I might be short, but my game is for real because from the waist down, I'm like Shaquille O'Neal.
That was a black moment with Lisa May.
Beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
And
you
a beautiful one.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Right. You kidding?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ Monday morning for folks whose alarm went off at 7:30 and they missed the announcement. We have the name of the guy who just won a trip to see My Chemical Romance in freaking New Zealand.
Jeff Tronti of Placentia, California. Congratulations.
Congratulations. So tonight's a big night.
Raiders. R-A-D.
No.
R. R I
no
D E R right S
tonight's the night the Oakland Raiders come to town. It's Monday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks. It's a big game. Used to be a big rivalry when they were in the same division. But is this? Do we have Rudy on the phone?
Hey, Rudy.
Like that? No, because the running mouth is a bum. You know what I'm saying?
Rudy.
Hey, hello.
Hey, it's
Kevin and Bean, how are you?
Oh, what's up, homeboy? What's up, homes? How you doing, eh?
Well, I heard that you might be on the phone because we were talking about the Raiders. Your favorite football team is playing tonight on Monday Night Football.
You better believe it. I'm already at Chillers in Whittier in the parking lot with a couple of my homeboys and Sack Girl are hanging and ready for the big game. You know, tailgating, doing it right, doing it proper, like, you know, carne asada on the grill,
uh-huh.
The Budweiser, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You tailgate for a game that you watch on TV, Rudy?
Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I got, you know, homeboy? Like, since they left up to Oaktown, you know, I can't go to the games or nothing. So,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the Raider Nation, this is like our headquarters, you know?
By the way, we've never talked to Sad Girl. Can we speak? Is that your girlfriend, Sad Girl?
She's one of my baby's mamas, you know? Like, if I had to pick one, you know, she's there for me. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, like, you know, she's the one for me, if you had to ask me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Put her on the phone. We'd like to talk with her, Sad
Girl. All right. Girl. Hey, bitch.
Hey, oh, that's why. Why?
Hey, you're fat enough. Come here. Kevin B want to talk to you.
Oh, that's ugly.
Hey, whatever. Hello? Hello? Who's this?
Is this Sad Girl?
Oh, you know. Okay. Who's Sad? This stupid? Is this Creeper? Is this Little Machete?
No, it's Kevin and Bean.
I know you. Scandalous. Hi. Mira, mira, baby. I'm talking to Kevin and Bean. Oh, stupid.
Sad girl, how long have you been dating Rudy?
Like 7 years now.
7 years?
Since we had our little baby, our little mijo.
Right.
Yeah, hi. You sound sexy, stupid. You sound cute.
Okay, let's, all right. You know, it's weird because I wondered why they called you sad girl. You don't sound sad at all.
No, it's because I have the teardrop tattooed on my eyes. Oh. You know, it's like I'm crying.
Oh, from the time you did in prison.
Okay.
All right, let's talk to Rudy again. Could you put your man back on for a sad girl?
Baby, come here, baby. I want to talk to you again. Okay, I'll take care of him. What's up, eh?
Hey,
she's
man.
Cool, she's cool, eh? You know what I'm saying? She's down, girl.
Well, she seemed very nice, Rudy.
Yeah, she's clean.
She scared us a bit.
Yeah, you know.
So,
she's a big girl.
Seahawks...
She's a big girl. There's no doubt. Big girl.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I understand, right.
The Seahawks are favored by 7 tonight. They are 3-2 in Monday night games against Oakland all time. How are you feeling about the game tonight, Rudy?
Look, everybody knows that, like, Seattle, nothing good comes from Seattle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just queers and coffee, as far as I'm concerned. That's all I know about it. You
okay.
know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, that's pretty accurate.
Like, I've had sex with lots of men, you know, and I think that Seattle's gay.
Is
you know
right?
what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like we got a W tonight, and I'm really hoping it could be our first win of the season. You know, I'm really pulling for the Raiders, eh?
Well,
things haven't gone their way. I just want one win, you know?
Really? But, Rudy,
what better time than on Monday night in front of, like,
Rudy,
nationwide, you know?
Rudy, right, they beat Pittsburgh last week. And they beat Arizona the week before that.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, they've won two in a row.
Oh, dog, look.
Why don't you watch the game?
Well, no, look. What happened was, okay, like 2 weeks ago, Sad Girl and I, we went to this party, right, mm-hmm. in Islos for Dia de los Muertos to,
right.
like, start preparing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the cops rolled up, you know, because we were doing, like, underground boxing out in the front yard.
Right.
And the cops cruised up, and I had, like 5'10 crack rocks up in my pocket, in my dickies, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, Sad Girl, put this in your mouth. You know, and, mm-hmm. and like, she did, you know, because she's down for me like that, you know, like Bonnie and Clyde, eh?
Right.
And then, but the baggie broke, so she swallowed, like, a half a kilo of
oh
Coke.
God.
And she started shivering and, like foam come out of her dome piece, eh?
Right.
So I'm like, I ain't got no insurance, you know, so I drove to Mexico to a doctor, you know what I'm saying?
You drove her to Mexico?
Yeah, it was clean, like, you know, I mean, the guy had chickens in his office and stuff, but he did the job, you know? Like, he just cut her stomach open and took it out, and next thing you know, a little Alka-Seltzer, and that hoe was back in business, you know?
Wait,
so, like, I've been in Mexico, and, like, I don't have no car, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I had to call Sad Girl's father-in-law. Machete, you know, and I had to get him to come down and get us, you know, because Little Creeper was all busy, and, like, it took a long time to drive down to Rosarito. Next thing you know, it's like, I just got back last night, and then I went to the Junior Walker in the All-Stars concert at the Santa Fe Spring Swap Meet, you know.
So the point is, Rudy,
that's all I know. I didn't have time to read no paper.
So you missed two games because of that?
I missed 2 full weeks of life, eh?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, Raiders
okay.
are life, but...
Well, the Raiders, they've a little bit of a comeback. 2 wins in a row, and we'll see how they do against a Seahawks team that has 8 guys out on the disabled list. So,
yeah,
I mean,
your whole team's dead, bitch. How do you feel now?
How about a little friendly wager between Bean and Rudy?
Yeah.
How about that?
All right. How about if the Raiders win,
Sad Girl will...
You give me, an 8th of Chronic. Because you're up there up north, eh? Up in the, with the weather, they get the good buds up there, eh?
Well, we do have the Vancouver, BC is supposed to be some of the best in North America.
You hook me up with that. If you win, you get to take Sad Girl for a spin. You
Excellent.
Know what I'm saying?
Oh, there's nothing more fun than a fat girl for a spin.
Well, before, you know, back when she was young, before they called her Sad Girl, they called her the pipe cleaner. You know what
is
I'm saying?
Is that right?
You know,
oh,
got,
okay.
You know she's got game, eh?
Let's just, do you mind if we talk to her one more time to see if that's okay with her?
All right, she's over by the barbecue. Hold on, eh? Hey, bitch! Hey, come here. They want to talk to you again.
I just want to make sure it's all right. I mean, he is
Don't
betting.
Don't look at me like that. Come here. He can watch our kid can watch Blue's Clues later, all right? Hey, hello?
Sad Girl?
Yes. Hi, baby.
We just made a bet on the air, and Rudy promised that Bean could take you for a spin if Seattle wins.
I like that idea.
You're okay with
You're
that?
You're big and tall, right, Bean? I like weirdos. I like my white boys. Mm-hmm.
And he also said that you used to be known as the pipe cleaner. Is that true?
That's right. I was a legend in Islos.
Okay.
I'm in.
Okay, so you're in. All right.
I'm going to put on my special white blouse and black bra.
Uh-huh.
Mira.
Okay, well, good luck.
Okay.
Thank you, Sad Girl.
Yeah.
Tell Rudy we said bye.
Okay,
right. Bye now.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
Get out of the studio.
K-Rock Q.
Get out of the studio.
What are you eating, Kevin? What are you eating now?
Donut.
Sorry. It's 7:52 on the Kevin Beach on the world famous K-Rock. Less than 1 hour from right now, we'll talk to actress Hayden Panettiere. She, of course, from the TV show Heroes, with a new episode tonight on NBC. You know, Ralph, she also was one of the stars of Bring It On, All or Nothing, and she was the star of Ice Princess. We got all of that going on with little Hayden.
All of that, huh? I just watch Meet the Heroes on Monday nights. That's what I do.
That's a good show.
I just say the cheerleader saved the world. That's all I know.
She is the cheerleader. We'll have her on the show in less than 1 hour from right now. It's Monday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on? What's everybody talking about? Let me guess. Does it start with Bore and end with At?
Or Ott, if you're Roper. If you're Richard Roper.
Borat.
Tonight, we look at the movie Borat. Screw you,
unbelievable.
Kevin, you see how successful somebody can be when they slaughter the English language on purpose? You're so close, man.
Like I don't.
You're so close.
I do it on purpose.
You have the same sort of end result, but... Everyone knows it's not nearly as funny when it's just
sad. Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Much success, movie. You will not be executed. Borat, a huge hit over the weekend. $26.4 million made it number one at the box office. Even more impressive when you realize it was only released on about 800 screens nationwide. That means it made about $31,500 per screen. That's the average, and that's enormous, enormous.
800 screens is a big movie like Santa Claus 3, right? 3,000 screens.
3,000 screens.
Yeah. Versus 800, and yet Borat beat the box office.
Yeah, Santa Claus 3 came in at number 2 with $20 million in its debut weekend. Insiders speculating Flushed Away took away some of the audience for Santa Claus 3. That made about $20 million as well. Made it number 3 at the box office. Then Saw 3, The Departed, The Prestige, The Flags of Our Father, The Man of the Year, The Open Season, and The Queen. Top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Couldn't be happier for Sacha Baron Cohen. There's a guy who really deserves his success. He has earned it.
He's a genius.
It works like hell.
Kevin.
Fans of Borat made some interesting editing changes on the Wikipedia entry for Kazakhstan. If you went there over the weekend, you saw pranksters change the president of the nation to Borat. Also changed the country's national anthem. They had printed the lyrics there to Kazakhstan, greatest country in the world. All other countries are run by little girls, which he sings at the in the rodeo sequence
How
in the film.
How funny was that when he was singing that in front of the rodeo crowd?
It was awesome.
Talk about guts.
It was awesome because they had no idea what he was talking about. They kept cheering everything, especially when he said, here's to George Bush drinking the blood of every man, woman, and child in Iraq.
And by the way, a fair amount of Texans stood up and applauded that.
Yeah. We support your war of terror. Yep. Said about the United States.
Well, he had them going from the beginning, and then he kept changing it darker and darker, and they just kept cheering right along with it.
Until he started singing a national anthem by changing the words to Kazakhstan. That's when they started to turn on him. And they also changed the motto of the nation on the Wikipedia site from its original to high five.
That's the best motto ever.
At some point in the weekend, the site banned users from contributing to that particular page. They
That's what they'll do if it gets out of hand,
Just out of control, which will happen to our page, I'm sure, after today.
By the way, they tried to sue him at one point, didn't they? They hate the fact that
Kazakhstan?
He acts like he represents them, and
he's
getting
sued
all
over the place. He's getting sued by Germans, getting sued by Kazakhstan, he's getting sued left and right.
Fantastic.
You know, if I were Kazakhstan, and of course I'm not, but I would take advantage of all of this publicity and start a campaign to spotlight what's great about that country, if there is anything, and try to encourage people to come visit the real Kazakhstan. Oh, we all laughed at Borat. Now come see the beauty of the real Kazakhstan and actually try to develop some tourism out of this.
Well, they don't really need tourism dollars considering they're one of the wealthiest nations in the world with their oil supply.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. They're massively, massively rich in oil.
So they're doing okay.
However, their citizens
are still starving.
Do live pretty much in squalor. Yeah. So
yeah. Excellent.
Either way, it's not a country I think I'd want to visit. I'd want to get out.
Or I did.
You got that guy with one arm in your neighbor, you know, in your neighborhood.
Sure.
You got your neighbor trying to steal your iPod and everything. And
I love
got a car being
neighbor.
Drugged by a horse. Doesn't even have an engine. So it doesn't look like a fun place for me.
No.
Neil Patrick Harris was outed by the National Enquirer last week. They did a story saying that he was dating Broadway actor David Burtka. Neil Patrick Harris, of course, the star of Doogie Howser and How I Met Your Mother. Harris's spokespeople immediately denied that he knew David and said that he wasn't gay. Right after that, Neil Patrick Harris came out and said, yes, I'm a very content gay man living my life to the fullest.
So they didn't know?
So his people came out and said no. And then he came out and said yes.
Yeah.
Here's what I like about the way
he did it.
They're
so quick to lie for them, they don't even ask their clients anymore what they want to do, apparently.
Here's what I like about him, though, is he came out and he just said it, and he said it strong, and he said, I'm living my life to the fullest. Basically, kind of a F you if you don't like it. I don't care. I'm happy. And it was, I thought that was really well done.
The more people that do it, the less of a deal it'll be, I hope.
I question my lack of gaydar that it never occurred to me that Neil Patrick Harris was gay,
oh,
by the way.
Really?
Am I a lame-o for that? Should I have caught that?
Oh, yeah. It was no surprise.
Did a lot of Broadway.
Your gaydar is broken.
It must be broken. I had no idea.
His long time spent in Rent, of course. He played that role on Broadway.
I just thought he was a talented singer, dancer, actor.
And I also rented Doggy Hauser, M.D.
I don't know if you ever
saw that film that he did. It was very different from the TV version.
Cut, print, gay.
Tyra Banks is an obnoxious whore.
Yes.
Well, let's not get crazy.
It's not crazy. That's tame. She hear what I'd like to say about her. But she's doing another one of her transformations for her TV show. This time she underwent 5 hours of makeup to transform herself into a man. And then she joined Chingy's entourage. I actually had a suit thing that went over me and made me have pecs and like a six-pack. And I was so muscular that it covered all of the breast tissue underneath it. We had to give me like a heavier brow bone and a man's chin bone structure. I even deepened my voice.
Oh, she went that far?
Yes. Wow.
How does she do that?
I was so convincing that a girl ran up and kissed me. I was like, oh my gosh, that was really weird. She ran up and kissed me because she thought that kissing me would get her closer to Chingy.
Is she retarded?
I want to just drive a steel spike right into her skull. You know, instead of spending 5 hours transforming yourself in makeup, spend, I don't know, an hour coming up with some content for your show and how to speak in front of people.
Well, I will tell you that I don't know what she hopes to uncover about the mystery of being a man. I mean, what is she going to do as a member of Shane's entourage that's going to be educational at all for her viewers?
What does she do anytime she does one of these deep undercover shows? It's all smoke and mirrors. It gives her something to do for a show instead of give out Vaseline.
She's awful.
Oh,
why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
We got to start some sort of campaign to get her off the air.
We really
need to have like a protest wherever she films. We have to ratchet it up because I got an asshole this broad.
Remember
already.
She went undercover as a stripper and then couldn't strip? Remember that?
Yep. Yeah, remember she went undercover as a fat broad and started to cry because of how horribly she was being treated?
Yes.
And had situations between two actual fat women who were trying to comfort her because it was all about her.
Oh, Tyra, it's okay. And then they had to go home fat. And she didn't. God, I hate her.
I mean, we'd start a Tyra tirade where we just try to force her off the air to do whatever we can. Release the hounds of hell. Bring it on.
We haven't done that in a while.
I know. Today's celebrity birthday is Rebecca Romijn, very talented model actress. How come she doesn't have her own talk show? That is something I'd watch.
I would watch that as well.
She's very nearly the perfect woman, isn't she?
She is just charming as hell and beautiful to boot. 34 years old today, Thandie Newton from Beloved.
Oh, she's fixy.
Many other... see what he did there?
Yeah.
34 years old today. Ethan Hawke. Very talented young actor. Training Day. How good is he in Training Day, by the way?
Oh, fantastic.
The best.
That movie rules.
Sally Field, who's currently unemployed, is 60 years old today. And Mike Nichols. Very talented director. Started being a comedian. Did a lot of sketch and improv comedy back in the 60s.
Didn't know that.
His partner, Elaine May. They still did a lot of stuff. And then he started doing theater and started directing films. And now he's one of the most respected directors going. 75 years old today. Married to that Diane Sawyer broad. That journalist.
Yes.
How about that?
One of the high-powered power couples.
The guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
That's right. Mike Nichols. Heart as big as all outdoors. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, this is a weird city to live in because the music industry is here, and the TV industry is here, and the movie industry is here.
That is weird.
Celebrities everywhere, and especially for people who work in hotels, I'm sure that they get way more than, you know, way more sightings of celebrities than they do in any other city. Maybe New York. But Ralph was telling us about Dolph Lundgren in his showbiz beat last week. Ralph, tell us the story again of your friend. And
yeah, it was Dolph's birthday, so I said every time I hear his name now, I can't help but think of my friend who worked at a high-end hotel in Beverly Hills. And he was I guess what they call a resident guest. He used to spend there an extended period of time. You know,
and that's not uncommon at the hotels in this town either.
No.
Somebody could stay there for months at a time while they're making a movie or whatever, right?
Long stretches of time he would be staying there, and he would order up room service and usually specifically ask for a waitress to deliver it as opposed to a waiter.
Oh, he would ask specifically for a female. Okay.
And when the door would open, he'd be standing there nude at full attention and usher the young lady who was pushing the cart of food into the room. And he was enormously proud of his enormously gifted Schwanstucker.
And so he would show it off quite often.
Would the girls go in, or would they just say, here, I'm just going to give this to you. I don't really want to...
No, they would push it at him and run down the hallway.
That's what I would think.
No, they would bring the card in, and he would act as if it wouldn't be nothing sexual. He wouldn't address it. He wouldn't come on to them or anything. He wouldn't do anything. He would just be nude and erect.
And I suppose at those nice hotels, the staff probably gets, there's a meeting where they say, look, you're going to see things. Just be professional. Just don't bring it up. Don't make the guest feel uncomfortable. Just do your business and keep your mouth shut, right?
The guest, you know, you think guest comes first in most business situations, sure. But in these kind of places, when they're paying this kind of coin, trust me, you don't do anything untoward to any of them. Everything they do is fine, and you just act as if it's completely
just
normal.
Just act as if a guy's not standing there naked,
right.
Standing at attention.
Good morning, Mr. Lundgren. Here's your breakfast. And another person contacted me after I told that story and said she worked at the same hotel. She knew what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And said he would often go down at like high volume days in the buffet at the restaurant there when they would have their brunch.
Like a Sunday morning brunch or something?
When they would have like a Mother's Day brunch or some other high volume day. He would go down and pay for the brunch and get in line in a Speedo. And he would stand in line and get his Eggs Benedict in his Speedo with his giant bulge showing.
No shirt, no nothing.
Yeah, no shirt, just the Speedo.
Hey, mothers, how do you like this?
Showing off his 14 ounces of ground
beef. You know, you're going to have to tell Psycho Mike what the name of the hotel is so he can get a job over there. Oh. This is really very exciting for him right now.
Yeah.
We are going to look for you if you have been working here in the Southern California area. Well, really anywhere, I guess, but probably here in Southern California. If you work at a hotel and you've had strange celebrity run-ins, you don't have to tell us who you are. You don't even have to tell us which hotel, although it would be more fun if you did. But give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, because this stuff must happen all the time.
I bet it does. About another friend of mine who worked at a hotel, because having been a failed actor myself, a lot of my failed actor friends worked in hotels and restaurants.
Ralph, you're not officially failed yet, man. You still got a few years left to fail.
So they would always tell me the great stories about what was happening, especially with room service. They get odd requests. And there was one actress who I will not name due to the nature of the story. But she ordered up 24 hard-boiled eggs.
24 hard-boiled eggs.
And they found out, consequently, when the guy delivered it to the room, that she and her boyfriend, significant other at the time, who was also a fairly famous person, were using them as sex toys, basically.
Really?
Inserting them in places and things.
No.
Oh.
Really?
Yep.
No.
Did they call back?
Was she trying to hatch them?
No, she was just using them, the way one would use Benoit balls.
Why do they need 24 of them?
Look, she didn't stick around long enough to find out that answer, but she just knew from the drunken slurrings of the couple, they offered up a lot of information exactly what they had planned to do with those
eggs.
Wow.
They call back down and go, all right, we're out. We need them quick. Get up here quick.
We need a bottle of vegetable oil now, one stuck. But odd requests you can run into in those situations.
Yeah, sure.
I would imagine in a hotel, it's the concierge That's right?
Concierge,
thank you. Who gets asked all the bizarre things that the celebrity decides they need or want at 24 hours a day,
sure,
right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
The request that they must make.
Well, I think anything that's not food-related, probably have to go to the concierge to get, like, hookers and blow and that kind of stuff.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. If you work in a hotel and you have had these kind of run-ins with celebrities, especially if they're odd or strange or funny or whatever, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your calls right after this.
We're talking about celebrity behavior at hotels. What have you seen? You can be anonymous. You can keep the hotel anonymous if you want. We want you to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll start right now with Alice. She's in the great city of Montebello. Hey, Alice, what'd you see in the hotel?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hi there.
What I heard, I was a manager on duty on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was is that it was during the AHA Mays. I can't say it. It's the Association of Music Musicians. Anyhow, people were calling from all types of rooms, and they're saying, hey, we're feeling kind of high. And I'm all, what's happening? They're saying, well, there's somebody smoking out in the room on the corner, and that happened to be Willie Nelson's room.
Nice. I would request to be put on Willie Nelson's floor just for that reason.
That is shocking. Yeah. If you're suggesting that Willie Nelson was smoking marijuana, I'm outraged.
Now, did you guys do anything about it, or did you just say sorry?
Well, we actually just moved the two people from both sides away from him, but we left him there because he tipped us really well.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I bet. Yeah.
I like it. Did you knock on the door and say, hey, you mind if we come in?
No, I actually just kept on walking around his room hoping that we would get a contact high, too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Willie's got the good stuff, too. Thank you for the call, Alice. 1-800-520-1067. Let's say hello to, let's go down to Brady now. Brady is in Corona. See, this is the kind of celebrity sighting at a hotel that you hope to happen to you.
Brady, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Brady.
Can you tell us the name of your hotel that you worked at or no?
It was, it's the Inn LaBerge. It's more commonly known as the Inn Del Mar.
Okay.
Down right. there in San Diego.
And who was the celebrity sighting?
It was Demi Moore.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
Now, was this during the Bruce Willis days or the Ashton Kutcher days?
It actually was during the Bruce Willis days, about 10 years ago.
So, okay. What was the story? What happened?
Well, I was a bellman, and she was staying in the Sharp Mind and Body Institute. Deepak Chopra had his little center there for actresses to come back and, you know, detox their head after partying like a whore. But anyway, she was up there, and she had me bring her shoes up to her, and I guess she had just gotten out of the shower. And her robe was just spilling open, and she was on the phone. And so I was just going to politely put down the shoes and leave. And she's all, wait, because she wanted to tip me. And then and I was standing there for like 3 minutes, and her boobs are just pouring out of this thing. And she had to know.
So
well, that was your tip.
Do you think that she was coming on to you?
No, I doubt it. I mean,
but you think that she knew that...
Slouch, but I'm not Bruce Willis either.
Yeah.
Brady, was this before or after her boob job? Because, you know, her early actor stage, she had tiny little boobs. Now they're fantastic. Which ones did you get to see?
It was post-boob job.
Yeah, it must have
been. Fantastic. Oh, nice. Well done. Yeah. Well done, my friend. Well done.
That rules. Yeah. Did you go to all the other employees of the hotel and go, whoop, I guess I'm the only one that just saw that?
I made requests.
Thank you for the call, Brady. We appreciate it. Let's go. Oh. Speaking of which, let's go to Bryce in Diamond Bar. Good morning, Bryce. Hello. Bryce. Hello there.
Hey, Bryce. Going once. All right, let's move along to Allison down in Huntington Beach, 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got some great calls here. Allenton, Alice, excuse me, I love this. You got yelled at?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
You're on the air. We're talking about being in hotels and having celebrity sightings. Who did you get yelled at by?
Well, here's the story. I'm a traveling nanny, and I was working at Hyatt in Huntington, and I had just bought this screaming little child to sleep.
Okay.
And I hear people screaming in the hallway, and I'm like, screw this, I'm going outside. So I open the door, and I'm like, hey, you guys, shut the hell up. I've got a kid sleeping in here. And it was Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown having a screaming war.
Nice, in the hallway for all to hear.
And start screaming at me, I'm terrified. I'm like, dear Lord, oh my God, and I run into my room just hyperventilating.
So Whitney Houston turned and started giving it right back to you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Terrifying. I've never seen her like look scary. She had this weird like babushka thing on her head, no makeup on, and
was she sweating like a pig?
Yes, it was not pretty.
Yeah, that's bad Whitney Houston right there. All right. Thank you for the call, Allison. That's awesome to run out and yell at somebody and then realize who you're talking to.
Sure.
All right, let's go to Anonymous, who's calling from South Bay. Good morning, Anonymous.
Hi.
Hey, I'm a big fan of yours. I read your book.
Who did you see? What celebrity?
We saw O.J. Simpson.
Okay.
This is before he got on this trial. And
was it after the murders?
It was before murders.
Okay.
And he was not with his wife and sneaking in and out from the back doors.
Really?
Yes.
But he was still married at the time.
He was married. He was married, yeah.
Interesting.
And so, of course, we went in his room after he was gone, and we found lots of boxes of Q-tips. Like, some were unopened, some were open, but just a big stack of Q-tips.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We don't know. We couldn't figure it out either.
Huh.
Did he have a clean ear fetish?
Boxes of Q-tips.
We have no idea what it was all about.
I don't want to know.
That's awesome. Well,
something weird.
No wonder you're anonymous. You're telling on O.J.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wouldn't. I wanted to be anonymous.
You're a smart girl.
He comes to the South Bay a lot, so we just left it anonymous.
I gotcha.
I can't believe you would suggest that O.J. is not a man of high moral character.
Right.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Matt in Hermosa Beach. Good morning, Matt. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Great. So a couple of years ago, I was working at a hotel in the marina, and we got in a call. I was working security at the time, and we got a call that from a room there was a bunch of shouting and screaming and just bouncing off the walls. So we went up there to check it out, and when we knocked on the door, we heard nothing. So So usually we hear like screaming. We usually have to enter the door.
Right.
So we came in there, and we knew prior to that, we knew Steve-O from Jackass was staying there.
Nice.
And when we entered the door, Steve-O was passed out in a Spider-Man costume on the floor, and the ceiling fan was broken, and his girlfriend was crying in the bathroom.
What?
And so we never really got the full story, but what we figured happened was he was jumping on the bed, and he hit the fan and just fell down. It was pretty awesome.
So he's in a Spider-Man suit, jumping up and down on the bed, and hit the ceiling fan.
You know, we never got the full story, but we are pretty much assuming that's what happened.
Is he the one that did that in Jackass 1?
That rules.
It was him,
There was no cameras. It looked like they weren't filming it for
her. He was recreating just for her.
I think that's what was going on.
That's awesome. Thank you, Matt, for the call. We appreciate it.
Save the cheerleader, save the world. That's all we Heroes fans are talking about tonight. A new episode at 9 on NBC. We're very excited to say the cheerleader is on the line herself. Ralph, get ready. Here's your girlfriend, Hayden Panettiere, joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Hayden. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hayden, we love you.
Aw, thanks. I love you, too.
I even, when I'm TiVoing through television, I will stop to watch you wash your face in those Neutrogena commercials.
Aw. That's the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
Well, it's a little stalkerish. If you ask me, Hayden, it's a little stalkerish.
Now, a lot of people may not realize that Hayden has been acting since she was like a baby. So you've been at this your whole life. But what a difference it must be for you in the last few months since Heroes has been on the air and is one of the biggest shows on television, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely been a big difference. It's sort of like, I always lived in New York, and so I always worked out of there, and it was just, I've been working forever, but I've never really been, like, thrown into the quote-unquote L.A. scene,
right,
and now
right.
I've moved out here, and it's just become that, and it's like, oh, gosh.
How did you get hooked up with Heroes? Where was the connection?
You know what? It's a funny story because it was something that just basically seemed like it was plopped in my lap. I had never heard of it before. I went into a general meeting with NBC, and literally on the way out the door, they were like, oh, by the way, read this. And it was a nice little script saying Heroes on the cover, and it had a cockroach on it. I was like, okay, that's interesting.
That's nice.
I read it, and I liked it, but I didn't know it was going to be as big as it was. I had no idea that it was already as big as it was. People were just like, hey, yeah, going for an audition, blah, blah, blah.
That's weird.
And next thing I know, it's a hit show on NBC, so.
And you're the cheerleader that cannot be killed.
And I'm the cheerleader that cannot be, well, I don't know if I can.
That's true, actually.
Yeah.
No, we don't know, not yet, at least. Because as long as they pull the stick out of your neck or whatever you got, then you can revive yourself.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that for a while. Because I was always like, yeah, she can't be killed, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, wait a second.
If no one pulled the stick out, then you would be dead and, I guess, forever.
Dead and
right?
Yeah, I guess the question kind of is, like, how long can you leave something like that in there before she
right.
can't regenerate
right.
anymore?
Yeah. You know what I find interesting about your character is that she's so, I mean, yeah, you're going to be freaked out when you realize that this is going on to your body. Obviously, I understand why your character would be freaked out. But she seems, like, almost, like, mad about it, like, really pissed off rather than just, woohoo! I mean, I would think it would be the best possible news a person could ever get is that they can't get hurt.
Yeah, but as a teenage girl who's struggling to fit in, I mean, I could see that for anyone. For me, I'd be like, throw myself off my balcony, like, hey!
That'd be awesome.
Great party trick.
Watch this, everybody. I'm going to jump from the roof. This is a clip from Hayden in the first episode when she realizes that she's got this power.
My life as I know it is over, okay? I've got the Bishop game next week, SATs in October, homecoming's 3 weeks from today, and I'm a freak show.
You're being a little dramatic, don't you think?
No, I don't think. I have busted, like, every bone in my body, stabbed myself in the chest, I've shoved a 2-foot steel rod through my neck, and I don't have a scratch on me.
Nice.
Oh, gosh.
That rules.
You know, it's a credit to your performance, Hayden, and to the rest of the cast as well, and to Tim Crane, of course, who created the show, is that everyone... It's a show about superheroes, but it's not like a comic book show. Everyone
right.
seems very realistic, and I love the fact that you have bigger problems beyond your superpowers, which like finding out who your biological parents are and dealing with your parents at home, and it's just it's a very realistic performance.
Thank you. That's very nice. Yeah, I mean, it's a great story, great writers, great cast, and, you know, it's a combination of what everyone loves, what everyone wants to see.
Yeah.
Everyone loves X-Men and fantasy, and at the same time, they're real human stories that people can relate to.
Yeah, it's so real. I mean, you're indestructible. We've talked about this before, and which power would we like to have?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like to have the power of that dude that can stop time.
Yeah, I mean...
And can transport to another vehicle.
Yeah, that rules.
Because you want to cheat in Vegas like he did.
Exactly. One guy can fly, one guy can hear other people's thoughts. See, if you hear other people's thoughts, to me, that's... I don't want to hear what people are thinking about me.
I don't want to hear what people...
No, as a girl, you would never want that.
And Hayden, I don't want to alarm you, but I think your dad's creeped me out a little bit.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me... Somebody came up to me the other day and were like, watch out. Some crazy fanatic is going to come up to you and like try to stab you and
God.
You regenerate.
God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean in real life?
That didn't dawn on me. That kind of twisted nonsense.
No, that's
no
good.
Maybe I should talk to Kring and have him change my power.
Yeah.
But your dad's bad news. You got to get the hell out of your
house. You know what? I don't know about him yet.
We're telling you right now he's bad news. You got to get out. What is the response when they meet you on the streets? Is it, do you get one thing overwhelmingly?
You know, I have not had... It, that bad. Usually people here are very polite, and at least my experience has more been like passing comments. I haven't had crazy experiences. My other cast members definitely said that they've had some weird people like run up to them and be like, save the cheerleader, save the world, run away.
Well, I know you're super busy probably filming the show, but there will come a time, I'm sure, with this success that you guys will start appearing at these comic book and science fiction conventions and that kind of stuff.
Well, we did Comic-Con this year. Unfortunately, I was one of the only two people working on that day.
Excellent.
Of course.
How convenient.
Lucky you.
But then again, everyone was emailing me going, it's so hot and there's no air conditioning on the bus. You're not here right now.
Hey, you're superheroes. Stop complaining.
I know. Superheroes pathetically sitting on a bus drenched in sweat.
Exactly.
But when you start meeting some of those fanboys, you're going to have some interesting stories to tell, I'm sure.
I hope so. I'm waiting for some entertainment.
Well, do you want to give out your email address or anything? So the entertainment can begin?
No, okay,
checking. All right.
We are speaking with Hayden Panettiere on the phone right now from the TV show Heroes, a new episode tonight at 9 on NBC. I don't know if it's possible for you to keep all the storylines straight and everything, but can you tell us anything about the new show that we're going to see tonight?
I wish somebody could refresh my memory as to what it is. I can't tell you about tonight because I, honest to God, don't remember.
You don't remember.
But
that's okay.
But you remember that it's going to be good.
Yeah, it is going to be good.
Okay.
The future ones that are coming up, there's a big one called Homecoming where you guys will get to see Siler. And Save the Cheerleader, Save the World will be semi-explained.
Okay.
Oh, this Siler dude, he's pretty scary.
I
can't tell what your dad's connection is with Siler. Is he Siler? Is he working for the government? Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? It's all very confusing to me.
I don't know. I honestly know just as much as you guys. They don't give us the scripts very far in advance, and the writers refuse to tell us certain things. And so,
writers.
I stopped trying.
Keeping you in the dark.
Keeping me in the dark. You know, it's entertaining. It's more fun that way, but you know.
I guess.
Hey, Hayden, are you, as I mentioned when we brought you on, you've been working your whole life, so the work is not something that you have to adjust to, but the level of fame and recognition, and when you see the magazine covers and you see all the stories on television and the articles and everything like that, is that hard to get used to? Is it fun for you? Is it scary? Is it like what you expected it would be? What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, I love doing that. I love doing photo shoots. I used to do print when I was younger, and I love modeling and stuff. So,
me too.
It's fun.
Oddly
it's
enough.
Really fun until you see a really bad picture that you really don't want to see. Then you're
yeah. Well, you haven't taken any of those yet.
Like you ever take a bad picture?
Exactly.
Or
you know.
We
talk to
says it's good, and then you're like, no.
Right.
I hate it.
We talk to a lot of young people on this show, and you sound like a very very put together 17-year-old. It's to your credit, I guess you probably grew up pretty fast with all the work that you've been doing throughout the years, but you sound like you know what you're doing.
Thank you.
Are you living with the parents out here, or do they stay in New York?
My mom's here with me right now. We are renting our house out in New York for about a year.
Okay.
My dad and brother, my brother's been like on a roll. He just finished a film for Nickelodeon called Last Day of Summer, where he played the lead, and now he's doing a movie down in Mexico and Texas.
Man. You got slave driving entertainment parents.
Old, so.
Did your mom really take you to an audition when you were 11 months old?
I did a commercial when I was 11 months old, so wow. I might have been not quite 11 months old when I went.
Wow. You did start early, I guess.
I did. You know, her excuse for it all is I thought I would get some nice baby pictures out of it.
Sure, yeah. But what she really wanted was a brand new house.
Yeah.
She just found out. All right, well, it's a great show. Heroes, one of our favorite new shows. It's on Monday nights tonight at 9 o'clock on Channel 4 NBC. And you're fantastic. Thank you, Hayden.
Thank you.
Hey, bye. Never mind.
Okay.
I was going to say, by the way, when she turns 18, she needs to come into the studio because it'll be a very different interview then.
And you chose not to say that to her.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I'd rather not, actually.
Wish you said it here.
All right. It's 2 minutes till nine. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Ralph.
Borat, in his debut, made $26.4 million, making it the number one movie at the box office this weekend. Very nice. By the way, that's the last Borat impression I will ever do.
Is that right?
Yes, because it's already way, way out of control. It has become the Austin Powers for the next millennium.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
I knew I was out when I was watching football this weekend.
Uh-oh. Who did it?
Joe Buck was talking in the pregame show about football and saying last year, Rex Grossman, a lot of people had their doubts in the about the Chicago Bears quarterback. But this year, he looks like the best quarterback in the USNA.
Yeah, baby.
And I said, ooh, Joe Buck's doing it.
Jeez.
That is the shelf life of the impression when they start doing it on the pregame show before NFL football.
So it's gone? You're writing it off?
It's already out.
All right.
It's already flamed out. It's burn up. It's like a re-entry. It's like a spacecraft on re-entry, and it's just flamed out.
Here's the question, Ralph. Can Borat do another movie, or is he now too well known to suck anyone in?
That was his problem in Britain before with the TV shows.
With Ali G, especially.
Yeah, with Ali G.
G became so popular. Yeah, I think this is a one-off for him, but he'll be doing Bruno next, and he's got a whole new series of suckers for that, I'm sure. And when you see him in character, between Ali G, if you took Ali G and Borat and Bruno and stood them next to each other, you'd never in a million years guess it was the same guy.
Yeah, true.
Because he changes his physicality and the way he holds himself, the way he behaves. He's so committed to the characters that he's completely believable. So I think Bruno will take a lot of people by storm.
I'll tell you what was amazing about that movie is the people that he had. Like, he would go in and talk to a senator, you know, and then he would use 8 seconds of it. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he had so much stuff to choose from. He must have just cut out 99% of it.
Well, he shot all the interaction stuff and then culled the best of that and then wrote the script and the story for the movie around those segments. That's how the whole thing kind of weaved together.
So brilliant. So,
yeah, just a brilliant, brilliant film. And you'll be able to see it. If you couldn't find a place near you this weekend that had it because it was only on 800 screens, it'll be releasing wider and wider in the progressive weeks. So you'll see it soon.
Why Lisa Hates America and wouldn't go see it, though, is another question for another day, I think.
Well, there must have been some play opening this weekend
that you couldn't drag
yourself away from.
I was home and I was sick.
Really? It wasn't the Death of a Salesman wasn't being done at the West Covina Playhouse or something?
You had to really
900th time?
I wanted to go, but I could not.
All right. The Santa Claus 3 in its debut is number 2 at the box office, making $20 million.
Went.
What?
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. I had something in my throat.
What did you say?
I said I went.
You went?
Because of the girl. You know, you would do anything for your kids. Don't throw stuff at me.
What's wrong with you?
You would do anything for your kids.
Yeah,
so
you know
they
what you
want
do?
To go, so
you
I
hire a kid, a teenager to take them. You give them $20, you get the babysitter to walk them to the multiplex and watch the goddamn movie.
I do that sometimes, but I wanted to spend
some
time
with them.
But
this one,
no, but this one. If the season ended today, you'd be a fag.
I'm just saying.
Sure, the other film, you let somebody else take, but this one, you had to make sure you were sitting there with them.
I was not looking forward to it, no.
Douche.
Yeah.
Flush. Kevin, I hate you.
Kevin, God damn it.
Flushed Away was number 3 at the box office. Just
you dockside-ed, Kevin.
Just behind Santa Claus 3. Saw 3 was number 4. Then The Departed, The Prestige, Flags of Our Father, Man of the Year, Open Season, and The Queen rounding out the top 10 at the box office.
I want a good movie. I tried to talk him into Saw 3, but they wouldn't have it.
So. You should take him to see Borat again. That's what you should have done. Kids would love that. There's poop in it. There's nakedness. There's all kinds of good stuff.
It's got everything.
There's cheese made out of breast milk. It's all kinds of
sure.
Yeah.
God.
The MTV Europe Music Awards, speaking of Borat, was, of course, last week. And Madonna was too busy to attend, but didn't keep Borat from appearing via video link from the States here. Talking about the Queen of Pop, he held up a baby.
and said, last year I went with the ugly one from the Pussycat Dolls and made this. Is Madonna there because she might like to buy it? But I'm worried that the singing transvestite might make a bad father, he said.
So, taking his slams at Madonna.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Speaking of Madonna, she's pretty, not very popular in New York these days. Apparently last week she was in town for a big PR tour. And she instructed her driver of her limo to run a series of red lights to avoid the paparazzi that were pursuing her. Witnesses claim they saw her run 40 red lights in 4 days.
What witnesses were following her around for 4 days?
Paparazzi.
I'm guessing it's the paparazzi and journalists who are trying to get stories of her. They're following her and she blows through the red light. She's like, she did that again.
Yeah.
How can she keep doing that? So the story's all over New York City, and they're pretty cheesed off by the fact that she was creating quite a driving hazard. Sir Paul McCartney made his first public statement Saturday about his nasty divorce from Heather Mills McCartney. He told the BBC there in the UK that he doesn't hold a grudge against his second wife.
What?
He says he has no hard feelings towards her.
Come on.
He says he wants to keep things private, and he hoped to get through the divorce with dignity.
Not with her.
It's so too late for that.
He says he's sad about what's happened. And he said that's the way he should be feeling, so he doesn't mind. He's just sad. He's not angry.
Well, they do have a kid.
Yeah.
A young one.
Didn't stop him before.
He would actually like to try to get through this without a bunch of ugliness, totally. But he's not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
The good news is McCartney's also added that statement that he thinks about touring next year. And he hadn't had planned one, so people were kind of surprised saying he was going to do another world tour next year.
Right.
But people are speculating it's just his way of screwing her because she won't be entitled to any of the money that he makes off this huge tour.
Sure.
So he's going to make just a ton of money and just say, ha-ha, you can have any. So that'd be good. Giving up Borat, but I'm not stopping my very popular Paul McCartney impression.
No, it's that one's needed more.
That's it. Yes, it is. And today on Oprah Winfrey, looks like Kirstie Alley is going to back up her threat of showing up on Oprah's show and putting on a bikini to show off her body since she took off all that weight.
I have to tell you about this.
So I just threw up.
I'm letting you know either so you can make a point of tuning in or make a point of not watching. But either way, I thought you needed to be warned.
How's she look, Ralph? Have you seen her lately?
She looks fat.
I mean, she looks better than she
looks
did.
Less but fat, but she's
still
fat.
Not bikini, bikini territory at all, right?
What the hell is that? That's not sexy.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Mike Nichols, very talented director and actor and comedian. He is 75 years old today. Sally Field, who someone told me is on a show, and someone was very angry. I said she was unemployed. So she's not employed.
Brothers,
what are you talking about?
Sisters.
She's on a show called Fathers and Uncles, and it's very, very, very hot. All the kids are watching it. All the kids, she said.
Really?
Yeah. So, my bad. I didn't know Sally was on Aunts and Uncles, and I apologize. 60 years old today. Ethan Hawke. Talented actor. Remember, I first saw him in Dead Poets Society, I think.
That's where
we first took notice of him.
Oh, right.
Great in that.
Then, of course, Training Days, Taking Lives, another great movie he was in. So he's 36.
He did that Before Sunset and After Sunrise. He did those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 36 years old today. Thandie Newton from Mission Impossible and The Beloved. She is 34 years old today. And Rebecca Romijn, very talented model and actress. She is 34 years old today. How great is she looking on the floor of that boxcar in X-Men 3, by the way, Last Stand?
Yeah.
When she loses her purple and just becomes pink again?
Pretty good.
I like the pink better. That's me. I'm all about the pink. What can I say? I'm a pink fan. I'm big on pink. Give me some pink. That's what I'm saying.
That's what
you got any pink? I like a big plate of pink. Sure could use some pink right now. You know what I'm saying?
No, I have no idea what you're saying.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Please.
No problems.
I tell you what, why don't you all step outside so we can talk about this? And the other gentleman, please step out there.
If you need to check inside me, I must warn you that last night I ate a 15 Cinnabon. My anus is open like a mouth of tired dog. If you make a tack on it, it may make a release. Yeah. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like you. High five.
I don't high five
nobody. That is the great Borat, an outtake from America's number one film on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. You know what's weird to see this Sacha Baron Cohen, this comedian, this British guy, doing this Borat character? Because we've known a guy just like Borat for years, yet he doesn't have a big number one movie. What's the deal?
Yeah. Well, the Armenian comedian is on the phone. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, everybody.
Now, we called you on Friday, and we told you that we wanted you to go see Borat so that you could give us a review.
That's me, man. You see me, Borat, as Borat. That's me.
Now, Sam, before we get to the movie, were you familiar with the character? Had you heard of Borat before?
Not really, because he had some kind of a TV public access show doing senators and presidents for eating and this and that. And I
public access? What are you talking about?
He means HBO.
HBO? That show, you mean?
Yeah.
The Ali G show? Yeah, okay. But you hadn't seen it before?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you went to see the movie, and did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it because, you know, the real thing is America needs to see other culture comedians also. So I'm proud of him, and I'm proud of myself. But he's copying me. I'm the real deal. I went across USA with you guys. I go around and telling, introducing myself and all that. I am the real deal.
So you're the real Borat, and he's
my
actually...
my co-worker, she calls me Goober, and my other co-worker, she calls me Homer Simpson. So try that, figure that out. And now my movie is coming out soon.
What are you talking about?
I don't understand that.
Sam, Borat, this guy Sacha Baron Cohen, has I'm guessing, never seen you. I'm guessing he didn't steal your act.
He never seen me. Nobody's seen me except heard my voice. But soon they're going to see me.
Okay, but you
because
just said that
my
he...
my movie is coming out. All is going to be adding music now and putting subtitles.
All
that's
right.
It.
What's your movie called?
Born High. It means born Armenian.
Okay, all right.
H-Y-E.
Well, that's close enough to Borat that maybe some people will get confused by accident and walk into yours.
Well...
and then be extremely disappointed by the lack of comedy.
Sam, how do you describe to people who haven't seen the Borat movie what it is that he does that's so funny?
He bores people. He just follows and tries to introduce himself. And as a culture of Kyrgyzstani, they always kiss people's faces, you know?
Right.
So Americans, they think he's gay running around gay... acting like a gay. Hello, my name is Borat. I want to kiss you. Mwah, mwah. You know, everybody's running away from him. And he tried to sing national anthem, which I did. He bored the people to death, all the rednecks in the rodeo.
Yeah, that.
Well, as yours was very exciting.
And you've bored a lot of people
and
to death over the years.
Manager, and then I don't have manager. All I did by myself. He's Armenian. I understood the whole thing what he was saying. He's on manager in the movie Borat.
Right. Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Okay, so the guy,
he's Armenian.
What? So about, you're saying the guy that played Borat's manager in the movie was Armenian and was speaking Armenian in the film? Is that what you're saying?
The whole thing, yes.
How about that?
I understood the whole thing, what he was saying, what he was, all the dirty words and
did
all
you
the conversation.
Did you understand the comedy? Did you get the funny parts?
The funny part is that he's funny his own way, and he's like trying to act like another Charlie Chaplin without the police chasing him.
Mm-hmm. And how is your movie going to be different, Sam? It sounds to me like you're trying to do the exact same thing as him.
Exactly, not him. I'm the real thing. I'm real comedy. My wife even tried to tell me before and after. Here's her point of view. Hold on.
What?
He's putting his wife on.
What?
We've never talked to Sam's wife.
What's happening? Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mrs. Sam. What's going on?
When I went to see movie, I said, exactly, this is Sam.
You said this was Sam.
Because the way he acts, the way he talks, what he does, exactly, I'm living with the Borat 24 hours
a day. Oh, if only you were. If only you were.
But didn't you find that Borat was very, very funny, whereas your husband is maybe not so much?
No, exactly funny. Sam, he's funny too, just like him, the way he's tall.
Just like Borat.
Sloppy, everything, he's just like a Sam.
You understand that the accent is not what makes the guy funny. It's actually the words that come out of his mouth. Right?
Well, the way he moves, the way he talks, his accent, too, everything is funny. Meantime, it's a little silly, a little stupidity. You know, he drops everything, he breaks. You can't do those things. He does, and he doesn't care.
Well, he doesn't have the intelligence that your husband, Sam, the Armenian comedian, has.
Oh, thank you.
So, I mean, it's really hard for him to pull that off. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is Sam telling us the truth when he says that he's very close to releasing his own movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Is it good?
Yeah, I saw that. He's real good. I was surprised when I said, bravo, Sam, you know, I give you credit. He's just funny, Sam.
Yeah.
And meantime, he's stupid, too. He does lots of stupid things.
Oh, does he ever? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right.
I can't wait to see your husband's movie. I'm very excited about it. I didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Armenian Comedian. Can you hand the phone back to Sam, please?
Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
for
to talk to you.
Thank
sure.
you.
Boy, is that woman a saint. Boy.
Wow, that poor woman.
Sam,
you can't say, you can't use that language, you freaking moron.
All right, I'm a moron, but I'm the real deal.
Okay, so Borat, not the real deal. You, real deal.
Yes.
Okay, him not funny, you funny?
I'm the most funny man. I'm telling you, my coworkers are hairstylists, professionals, women. They're calling me Homer Simpson. They're giving me nicknames as a goober. And wherever I go, I make friends. Everybody loves me.
Sam, goober.
This little child.
Goober is not a positive, Sam.
What?
Goober is a negative. It means you're a dork.
Oh, yeah. I'm dork, freaky, funny. That's my real deal.
Okay. All right.
Check it out on
you can't shake Sam.
All right, Sam, we have about 30 seconds if you want to give us, I don't know, a joke or something so that you can prove to us that you're as funny as Borat.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, you know what? When I die, I'm going to go to heaven for sure, and I'm going to protect all the virgin angels from Taliban. I'm going to close the gates and Saint Peter, all the virgin angels, Saint Mary, and God Mighty is all behind me with Jesus Christ cross in front of them. We're going to chill.
You, Sam, you're so stupid. You can't use that language.
I am supposed to say.
All
I'm
right.
Speaking. I can say anything I want.
No, you can't, you moron.
Okay.
Just hang up on him. We're done.
God.
I'm disgusted.
He's so stupid.
Why do I always years? Vote against him? And why am I always proven right?
He's so stupid. He thinks he's the real deal, and Borat is just a kid.
Well, he's only been on the show for 15 years. How can he know you can't use those words?
I don't know if you followed the news over the weekend, but the Saddam trial came to a close, and there was an actual verdict that was mentioned over the weekend, and they made it public. And this is the first of, I think they have like 15 trials against him. And I don't know if they're going to use him for backups or if they're going to go through with him or whatever.
I don't think so. I think it's just like in this country, once they've already sentenced you to death, there's really no reason to try you for the other crimes.
It was a 1982 thing where the people in a Shiite village tried to plot against and kill him. And so right. He had that village wiped out. So they tried him for crimes against humanity and they found him guilty over the weekend.
And by the way, he had everybody in the village wiped out. He basically said all of them tried to kill him. So everybody up to and including little kids were hanged because they were in on the plot, in his opinion.
Yeah. So he got guilty. I think two other people, his half-brother, that crazy dude, I think he also got sentenced.
The one that always yelled in court?
Yes, I think he was also sentenced to death. I think there were three out of the seven or whatever. But we figured we would check in this morning and just find out how Saddam's doing in prison. Good morning, Saddam.
How's it going? How you doing, fellas? How you doing, white devils?
Well, Saddam, you sound like you're in a pretty good mood, considering the bad news you got yesterday.
Hell yes, why wouldn't I be in a good mood? Did you hear? The case is dead. The sentencing is dead. They're not trying to sentence me. That whole thing is dead.
No,
it's finished.
They sentenced you to death.
What? Oh, I have to sit down for a second.
Yeah, death. Yeah.
Wow, that's not what I expected at all.
No.
You can't be surprised by this news. I mean, everybody was saying that they had a lot of evidence, a real paperwork chain of command to show that you're the one who ordered the deaths of all these people. So, frankly, good riddance, Saddam.
I really thought I had a shot at self-defense, though.
Self-defense?
Yes. Because they were trying to kill me. Come on. A man has to protect himself.
Right.
Like if you're in your house and you're sleeping... And then all of a sudden you hear the door crack open and then an entire village comes in and tries to kill you. If you shoot them, you'd get off scot-free.
I guess, but that doesn't ever happen. Nor did it in your case.
It could have happened that way.
From what I understand...
Really? Death sentence?
Yeah, the death sentence.
Oh, I had to
death
get a penalty. Better interpreter.
And you know, what the, you know what the death penalty is?
What's that?
In Iraq, of course, it's hanging. There's no fire squad, there's nothing else.
Yikes.
So here's... Do you mind if I play a little bit of the court...
No.
A little bit of the audio from the court?
No, nothing I'd rather do than relive that.
Okay,
thank
here
you.
We go.
The court has decided to sentence defendant Saddam Hussein al-Majid to be executed with hanging. Long live the people. Long live the nation.
Now this is where Saddam stood up and started yelling.
Down with the traitors. Down with the invaders. God is great. God is great.
Okay, yes. you're saying down with the invaders, down with the traitors, but these are your own people. These are Iraqis that tried you and convicted you, Saddam.
But the other ones, the other invaders, you guys.
Oh, I see.
Down with them, because this whole thing is George W. Bush's evil plan.
I see.
Down with the Asians.
Yeah, why did you say, here's another clip, I'm not sure.
Down with the Asians. Down with the invaders. Go to hell with your law and your articles and clauses.
Wow, we have to take our articles and clauses with us to hell?
Take everything, your articles, your clauses, your Santa clauses, your escape clauses, your Mrs. clauses.
Why do you say down with the Asians? What sense does that make?
Have you ever seen Sandra Oh on Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, God.
What a face. I'm looking forward to being hanged.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I would imagine in a hotel, it's the concierge who gets the concierge. That's right?
Concierge.
Concierge?
Concierge, thank you.
That was a moment with Bean. I got a concierge.
I know.
I got an urge to get some concierge.
Guys, you know how sometimes you'll say a word it just doesn't sound right and you just can't, in your head, you just can't pull it out?
Do I know what that's like? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on a daily basis.
Like raconteur or entrepreneur?
Welcome to my life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very difficult words, exactly.
9:44, time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. We only have four prizes today, so we're going to have to give them to the best four callers.
Well, that's bogus, but if you happen to be one of the ones who wins it, you'll love it because it's a ride snowboard from Sports Chalet. The experts from boards to skis to binding. Sports Chalet has it all, you guys. Plus, we're going to throw in a pair of lift tickets valid at Bear Mountain or Snow Summit. Snow is arriving soon at Big Bear, don't you know?
It's hard to believe when I was outside just a moment ago, and it's about 108 degrees out. It's hard to think about snow right now.
I know. It's snowing really heavily in different parts of the country. I'm so glad we live here. So glad.
I'd like a little coolness, though. Me. Something 75 would be doable.
Robert in Anaheim, good morning.
What to do, nephew?
What to do, my friend?
What to do? Well, yesterday was my friend's brother's 18th birthday, so we decided to do it right and took him to a strip club.
Right.
And we're all having fun, getting lap dances. Well, I'm getting a lap dance, and the stripper farts on my crotch while she's grinding me.
Oh, come on. Robert, why do you take something that's so beautiful and make it so ugly?
It does get good, though. So she got embarrassed. She left. 10 minutes go by. She comes back out. She apologizes to me, and she decides to give me another dance for free.
And then,
and now I'm feeling good after that.
Picky.
And then
picky.
She soiled her G-string on you.
Yeah, I don't. That's a. I wish I hadn't heard that story.
Yeah, that's a bad story.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed,
as they should be. 1-800-520-1067. No, it doesn't.
It absolutely depends on how hot she was.
No, it really kind of
does. Oh, absolutely it does.
All right, let's go to Bob in Los Angeles. Good morning, Bob. What to do, nephew?
What to do, nephew?
We need some really, really good calls so that Robert doesn't win the prize.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago, I go to Vegas. I decided to try my hand at some blackjack at Hooters Casino.
Right.
Don't ever do this.
Don't try to play blackjack at Hooters?
No.
Why?
They've got the most... If you're actually trying to win money, you don't want to do it.
Because why?
They've got smoking hot chicks in bikinis dealing.
Oh, I see. So you get sidetracked.
You just sit there and you put your money down to pay to look at boobies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is one thing, is that there are a lot of people who sit down to play blackjack, and if the table goes cold, you're supposed to stand up and walk away, but if there's another reason for you to stay and just keep throwing your money out...
Yeah, a spectacular pair of boobies.
Yeah.
Look, you could be losing some butt-ugly Asian dude, too, you know?
Good point.
That's true.
It's better to give your money to a smoking hot girl, at least you enjoy her company, than to some, you know, rough-looking Italian guy from Brooklyn or something.
Problem is, you lose like $200 in 5 minutes.
Yeah, you lose a lot more than you would, that's true.
Listen, you go to the Playboy Club at the Palms, the new Playboy Club just opened. Forget about it. You won't even remember gambling. You just look at one and go, where did $1 million go? Where am I? You get dizzy. It's just nuts.
I didn't even have $1 million. What happened?
Yeah.
Marty in Los Angeles. Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do, y'all?
Hey, Ralph. Marty.
And especially Lisa May, je t'aime.
Ooh, je t'aime.
All right.
Je t'aime. You as well.
So anyways, y'all need to figure out a way to get into Kazakhstan and do a remote from there, because I've been and they have smoking hot chicks.
Oh, stop.
No kidding.
It.
Really?
Well, you know, there's some pretty beautiful women in Russia. It used to be a part
sure.
of it.
Sure.
Absolutely. You have the Russian women, you have the Kazakh women who are kind of like a, it's kind of a Asian looking thing, yeah. but not totally. So.
Dude, I saw some of them in Borat's movie. And
yeah, his wife's huge and fat.
I'm his sister. I'm not in. It's mom. You know?
Well, I went there to do relief work, and I wasn't expecting. I was expecting to see the village people kind of ish.
Wait, the village people were there?
The village people live in Kazakhstan?
Are you kidding me?
That's ludicrous. But your typical remote village kind of no life. But right. In the city of Almaty, it was very cosmopolitan, and the chicks were dressing smoking hot Western style.
No kidding.
Clubs,
okay.
Lots of casinos.
Who did you go over with? Red Cross
casinos?
Or something like that?
No, I actually went with a church group.
Okay.
Did you say there were lots of casinos there?
Tons of casinos. The Russians went in there and just went mad putting up casinos.
This is what I'm saying, is Kazakhstan is not doing a very good job of capitalizing on this free exposure they're getting from the Borat movie.
Well, that's the other thing. You can't just go there for a vacation. You have to know, from a Western country, you have to know somebody there and have a letter written to the government stating your purpose for being there and such.
F them, then.
So
I'm
much
not
for
going
Glasnost.
There. Forget that. I'm not going
to
go there.
So do you have to call ahead, get a reservation, and then take a shuttle to get up there?
Pretty much.
Freaking Griffith Park Observatory of Russia.
Same thing. All right, let's go to Mike, who is calling us from Garden Grove. Good morning, Mike.
Morning. What a do, nephew?
What a do.
Hey, as an aside to the birthday boy who's on hold, we will get to you, so please do not hang up. I just want to make sure he knows that we know he's there. Mike, go ahead. What's up?
Well, 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend drugged me to the Bob Dylan concert at the Long Beach Convention Center.
Right.
Mm.
You lucky dog.
Yeah.
Mm.
Bob, are you happy to have Mike from Garden Grove there?
He's on his own guitar.
How was it, Mike?
It was so horrible that I kept complaining the whole time. My girlfriend ended up throwing the car keys at me and told me to go to the car. So I went out to the car and I just left her there. We were going out for about 2 years, and we ended up breaking up over, and I haven't talked to her since.
Yeah, I love you together.
You made the right call.
All right.
Because Dylan blows, so congratulations.
Oh, it was horrible.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe they broke up because she liked the Dylan concert, and he didn't. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, it's because he wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
Well, because
it's all fun to take
blows.
Someone to something, and then they just bitch and bitch and bitch and bitch.
Drive away from the parking lot.
I've seen Dylan twice in the last 5 years. This is being here. And he was great. Both times. He was terrific. It was a great
show.
Because
you like him.
Blah, blah, blah. Mostly that's why you go to see bands in concert, the bands that you like. I guess this dude that we just talked to just didn't want to be there in the first place.
Because he has good musical taste. That's why.
Oh, dear God.
I'm great.
Dewan, good morning.
What's up, Kevin?
We had a conversation on Friday.
Hi. Dewan, how you doing, Dewan?
Yeah, today's my 24th birthday.
Dewan, Kevin was starting to say that we were having a conversation last week about how much we missed you. We haven't spoken with you in so long. What can we do? And then Lightning came in and said, I'm going to try to get him on the show Monday because Monday's his birthday. And he wanted us to have the opportunity to wish you a happy birthday, which we do.
And I miss you guys, too. I haven't called for a while. The last time I spoke to you about the request liner.
The request liner.
Back in...
Oh, that's right. Oh, that girl you talked to used to work here.
Oh, yeah. The intern that you
angry
at. Yeah.
We got rid of her, though.
We cut her loose, Dewan.
Yeah?
We fired her because you're our guy.
Oh.
Yeah. So we had her killed, too.
Dewan, what are you doing now with your time that you don't call us anymore?
I wake up late sometimes.
Sure. And by late, you mean like 2 p.m.?
No, around like 11 a.m. or 10 a.m.
Well, because you're working late at the movie theater, right?
No, because I've been up all night.
What do you do all night?
Oh, you stay up online?
Stay online, watching TV sometimes.
Okay. What time do you usually get to bed, Dewan?
Around like 5 a.m.
Wow.
Early.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're a party.
Dewan, are you still working at the movie theater?
Yes, I am.
What have you seen lately that you really liked?
Lately, last movie I saw, like, I forgot what it's called.
Yeah, did you see Borat over the weekend?
But
you didn't see
Borat
that one?
Borat movie was sold out.
It was sold out?
Wow, sold out.
Sold out, okay.
And I think it's going to number one on top of the box office.
Yeah, it was number one this weekend.
It actually was. You're right.
Does Drew Barrymore have anything coming out soon, Dwan?
Her new movies her two new movies coming out next year.
Next year.
Okay, so it's going to be a lonely Christmas for you.
And lucky you.
Lucky you.
Okay.
We'll look forward to that.
And do you you have anything else exciting going on in your life? Are you seeing anybody? You got a girlfriend?
Nope.
Nope.
Still thinking about Drew.
Sure.
There's only room for one woman in your life, and that's Drew Barrymore.
Friend, yeah.
How are you going to celebrate your birthday, Dwayne? What are you going to do? What are your plans today?
Probably today I will go out to dinner by myself.
No, come on.
Dwayne, what?
Somebody will go out with you to celebrate your birthday.
What about your family?
They are celebrating my early birthday yesterday.
Oh, so they celebrated yesterday.
I got you.
Your surly brother? He celebrated yesterday.
Right? Well, you should do something to treat yourself today. You should have a special day. Do something you really want to do.
Right, go to the movies.
Exactly.
Yeah, go to work.
See Borat.
Some crazy, like,
go to work.
Go to a movie theater where you work.
Dwan, why don't you get a lap dance or something really fun?
Oh, stop it, Bean.
Oh, no, thank you. I don't do that.
That's right.
Okay, that's
Dwan's
fine.
A good guy. You're bad,
Nothing
Bean.
Wrong with that.
That's a good
choice. Well, Dwan, we're so happy that you called in today. We really do miss you, and we wish you would call more often, okay?
No problem.
All right.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye, Dwan.
Happy birthday, Dwan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye. What a great kid.
He does rule the planet.
Never.
I love him. As well as I love our guest of the Kevin and Bean Show today, the lovely Hayden Panettiere. She, of course, is on Heroes tonight with a new episode at 9 o'clock on NBC.
Secret's out tonight, by the way.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Somebody finds out about the powers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Should be a good episode. So thanks to Hayden for being on. And please, if you're not on board with Heroes, you're missing out. It's a terrific show.
Tomorrow, of course, is election
day. Don't we have another guest to thank, by the way?
I don't know. It sounded like he was doing.
That's Sam, the Armenian comedian.
Oh, sure, the Armenian comedian.
Review of the Borat movie.
Mm-hmm. I have already erased that unfortunate incident from my mind.
I'm looking forward to the Armenian comedian movie.
Me too.
And by the way, a lot of people are emailing, somehow blaming me because Sam is on the air. I do everything I can to vote against the call. All right, I really do. I'm with you. I feel your pain. I hate him as much as you do, but somebody enjoys talking to Sam.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You admit it.
Tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean Show. It is election day, so.
I was really fat.
Yeah, Cruz.
Cruz Bustamante.
Vote for X, the fat guy.
I was really fat, so vote for me.
Should we elect Kirstie Alley, then our governor or something? Those are the criteria we're using for our officials?
Just go by weight?
Absolutely.
Just have a weigh-in?
Whoever loses the most weight gets to be president.
I was really fat.
If Cruz wins...
I promised my family I'd lose 70 pounds.
Right.
I kept that promise. I'll keep this promise. I'll lower your insurance rates.
Yeah. We could have, like, Jared from Subway be attorney general. Like, everybody who's lost weight, we could just put into office.
If Cruz becomes insurance commissioner, and then he puts on a few pounds, we can recall him, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Oh,
yes.
Impeachment process immediately will be implemented.
Also tomorrow, we have Kelly Carlson who's coming into the studio.
You better run.
She's on Nip Tuck, of course. She will be here tomorrow morning.
She plays a nip in Nip Tuck.
She plays a Scientologist in the show now.
Yeah, I know.
Don't upset her.
Let's not make her mad. Also, tomorrow we have Will Ferrell, who's going to be on the show to tell us about Stranger Than Fiction.
Not familiar with the guy.
You gave away tickets last week. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, we're going to talk to him about that. We got Diddy, who wants to be the new James Bond. And we have the Bird edition of American Idol. The Bird edition.
Ralph, you remember this guy we spoke with a few weeks ago who was marketing pet CDs? Lisa wanted to buy a CD so her dogs would have something to listen to when she's out.
And Mike did, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is Squeaky Deaky guy, yeah. Well, now he's putting together a new CD and a new competition looking for the best bird singers in America. He's having a Bird American Idol, and apparently you get a recording and you get a ringtone and you get your picture on a CD and the whole deal if you win.
No, you can't keep an Armenian comedian off the show. Sometimes I can't keep things I'd like to have off the show off either. So everyone has to lump it sometimes.
This guy is doing a Bird American Idol.
Then by all means, let's bring him back after this abortion. Let's talk about his American Idol Bird edition, by all means.
It makes me jump for joy.
Okay.
That's going to be tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for Cat Corbett up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including, hard to believe, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, also 311. We got the new one from 30 Seconds to Mars, the latest Incubus, and new music from Beck, too. It's all straight ahead right here on K-Rock.
I used to be fat. Vote for me.